It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go. We actually got off to a reasonably flawless start. Oh, for God's sakes, don't jinx yourself, Kate. A reasonably flawless start for this Thursday, this thorn in the side Thursday. It is the sixth day of August 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that's where we keep access to the multimedia madcap wacky zany real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. If you've never been there, you really should try it out sometime during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between and the great globe around. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob, and if you pick out a screen name and a password, if you already have it, and jump into the conversation, you will be immediately greeted by Anatole and Otto and Roger and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, does not fold space in months that don't have R's in them to become Man Cave. That would be July, June, July, August. He may go back in September. We're not sure. And, of course, he is capably assisted by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgistan. So, here we are, off and running. Let's see here. And, again, many thanks to Renee in D.C. For the show posts. That she puts up on the Twitters. Thank you very kindly. It is it is in fact the sixth day of August, and as Franklin Delano Roosevelt once said about the seventh day of December, this too should be a day that will live in infamy, because it does. This was the 75th anniversary of the United States becoming the only nation on planet Earth ever to attack a civilian population with an atomic weapon. There are about 130,000 survivors of that attack still with us. Here on this planet. And that means that none of them are younger than 75 years. But Hiroshima, since our the use of an atomic device on it, has become a worldwide symbol for denuclearization, for the elimination of nuclear weapons, and generally transformed itself into a city of peace. but we dare not forget. No. And the debate continues as to, Harry Truman said he never had a second thought about it. But with the benefit of history, we can look back and understand that the way it was set up, Harry Truman never had to say, yeah, let's do it. His only option was to say, no, don't. Because it had been set up in such a way that it would be dropped on Japan once it became a viable weapon. You'll notice that we did not even consider dropping it on white folks. Probably wasn't ready, right? If the Third Reich had held on just a little bit longer, if the Russians had been a little bit slower in getting to Berlin, maybe we would have dropped one. No. The other thing, of course, the dropping of the weapon on Hiroshima represented a change in the world as we knew it. Because we had it, and we had the bomb, and no one else did. But one of the things that is often left unremarked on a day on this date is that it created, because this happens with nuclear atomic blasts. It created a firestorm. But you don't have to have an atomic weapon to create a firestorm. In point of fact, unless my statistics are off, more people were killed in the firestorm that we started in Tokyo with a massive incendiary bombing campaign. More people were killed in Tokyo than in Hiroshima. And, of course, there was also the firestorm caused by the bombing of Bremen, Germany, which has been forever memorialized by one of my heroes, Kurt Vonnegut Jr., in his novel Slaughterhouse-Five, or subtitled The Children's Crusade. So we take note of this day and hope it never happens again, and hope that the United States never does it again, because we remain to this day the only country ever to drop an atomic weapon or to use an atomic weapon on a population. Just a fact. Now, did I say Bremen? I said Bremen. It's the bombing of Dresden. You're right, Steve, in New York. My bad. The firebombing of Dresden. Dresden had no military value. There were no troop concentrations, no German military assets in Dresden. And we firebombed it as retaliation for the bombing of, Coventry in England? Yeah. But I get ahead of myself, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And when I say every program begins with gratitude, that's because I'm thankful for the fact that you choose to keep this program on the air. There are no ads here, no exhortations for you to buy gold now or some damn stupid wave radio or flooring from some deforested South Pacific island nation. No. No. Instead, we have folks like Chris in Germany and Michael in Madison and Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Bob in North Carolina, Kitty in Boston, Alex, Charlene in Rogues Island, Don in West Tennistan, John, all to thank for being partial sponsors of the program. So that leaves us with a fundraising goal of to catch up with this evening of $575. And thank you very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont for getting us started. Thank you very kindly indeed. So if you'd like to help out, well, as is always the case, the PayPal interface is at headon.live. And all help is good help. And Jeremy would love to have some company this evening. So away we go with this thorn in the side Thursday. Steve in New York says, I know that today is a grim anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. However, I would like to remember my dear grandpa. He would have been 96 today. Not a day goes by that I don't remember him since his death in 2007. Wherever you are, Grandpa, thank you for those wonderful years you so selflessly gave to me. Indeed. And as the blessing goes, may his memory be for a blessing. Because to me, memory, because I don't have any spooks or sky spirits or anything like that to fall back on, and his memory, as are all memories, are as close as we will ever get to eternity. Yep, yeah, I caught that at Dresden, not Bremen. And Dresden, Flavio points out, was a collaborative effort with the RAF and the U.S. Army Air Corps doing all the heavy lifting. Yeah, the U.S. Army Air Corps, of course, did the firestorm over Tokyo as well. See, the thing about the bombing of Hiroshima that most Americans don't know is that since late spring of 1945, the Japanese had been suing for peace. They had tried to issue conditions. They said, look, we'll quit. We're done. But please, just leave us the emperor. And we, the United States, responded by saying, nope, no conditions whatsoever. Because we knew what was in the works. And we wanted to show off our shiny, hot new toy. There is an argument that the dropping of those two atomic weapons, August 6th and August 9th, 1945, would, if it had been done by another country, have constituted a crime against humanity. Imagine a weapon so terrible that it can vaporize an individual and leave nothing but their shadow imprinted upon a concrete wall. But we wanted to use it. And the American people were presented the convenient excuse that, well, we've saved hundreds of thousands of American and Japanese lives because now we don't have to invade the home islands. Many service personnel who had fought in Europe, the ones who had survived, were decidedly worried about being shipped to the Pacific Theater to finish the war against Japan. Because as awful as the European theater was, it partook of what we like to call civilization. Because when you got a little break, you got a little leave time, you could always go back to some civilized part of Europe that was in Allied hands. Such was almost never the case in the Pacific Theater. there was no respite from places like Kwajalein and Guadalcanal and Okinawa. The nearest anybody got were often the Marines, who got a little bit of liberty in Australia. But there were certainly no European capitals or areas behind the lines where, well, you know what I mean. So, the American people were told that we committed this monstrous act in order to save hundreds of thousands of American and Japanese lives. It is a near certainty that that was not the case. Flavio reminds us that Howard Zinn, in his People's History of the United States, reminds us that the U.S. first used napalm on a little village in southern France. The war was over and the Germans were just hanging around. They weren't going anywhere. Well, but we'd spent a lot of time and money and materiel coming up with new and more horrifying ways to kill people. Sooner or later, you have to test that stuff. Right. And so, Joey was thinking along the same lines earlier today. Joey said, on this day, August 6, 1945, President Truman dropped the atomic bomb on Japan, which was the end of World War II and the commencing of the Cold War. Well, it wasn't really the end, Joey. There was one more to be dropped, August 9th. Most believe that the atomic bomb known as Little Boy was dropped on Japan more to demonstrate to the Russians that the United States possessed such a caliber of weaponry rather than to curtail any possible nuclear proliferation by the Japanese. There was no possible chance that the Japanese had anything approaching what we had achieved. The Germans chased it too, but they couldn't solve the most essential problems associated with developing an atomic bomb. Joey adds, on November 8, 2016, the Russians returned the favor as they dropped a bomb on the United States, ironically also known as Little Boy. No one's really certain why Truman named the atomic bomb Little Boy. Well, he didn't. That was the folks out in Los Alamos. But everybody knows exactly why Putin labeled his destructive gift of Trump Little Boy. Rumors were that the initial name for the Putin bomb was going to be Chucky Toddler, since Trump strongly resembles Chucky. You know, the murderous character of the horror flick movie fame who kills all kinds of people, and of course, Trump's a total toddler. However, Putin did not want to embarrass Chuck Fraud Todd any more than Todd embarrasses himself constantly kissing the asses of Republicans every Sunday morning. However, as it turns out, Chucky Toddler would have been a far more appropriate name for the 2016 incendiary device from the Russians, considering all the loss of life due to Trump's willful negligence during his corona crisis. Trump should be brought up on charges of manslaughter, or is that man's laughter, at the very least. Trump makes the Chucky horror flicks look like cartoons when you compare him to the horror show this country has experienced in the last 3.5 years. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe wants to know how they can charge a person with manslaughter if the person they are charging is not a man. Great question, Giraffe. This has been Joey's Journal for Thursday, the 6th day of August, with Giraffe studying his philosophical legal literature. Yes. So thanks to Joey and Giraffe. We will mark the other half of these of this infamous time. Let's see, tomorrow's the 7th, Saturday's the 8th. On Sunday. Sunday the 9th. All right. Kyle, meanwhile, with a note, says, thank you for calling out the military-industrial complex again for their history of acting damn near like terrorists. Yeah, well, that military-industrial complex dollar is a good dollar. And Kyle adds, Geraldo Rivera called Orange Asshole a civil rights activist during an interview today.
God damn it.
Oh, Kyle says, and I second Kyle's motion. I need to catch up on my day drinking. Jesus Christ. Day drinking, night drinking. It just, you know, put it in an IV bag with a stand and put a straw on one end. You know, like the ones that you kind of have to bite down on for the camel packs where you're carrying your water on your back in your hiking bag, and it's got a little tube, and you bite down, and you get a drink. Yeah, one of those. How about Fresca and Deep Eddy lemon vodka? That'd be mighty refreshing on a hot August summer day. Nah, I'd never make it to lunch. Oof. So, anything else happened today? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, other things did happen today. Bad day at BlackRock. For those of you familiar with the film, you'll understand why I used that reference today. But no, it was a bad day at BlackRock for the not-so-fine folks at the National Ruble Association. What's that, Stephen, New York? Day drinking hell, we need to come up with a bourbon drip. That's what I was getting at, only I said Fresca. And, you know, about a liter of Deep Eddy lemon vodka and a six-pack of Fresca should just about do it. It's the grapefruit thing. And for some reason, the artificial sweetener just works really well, and you can't tell it's there, and it cancels out the nasty of the vodka, and happy times. But, yeah, bourbon drip. That sounds good. Wait, bourbon drip. Is that Mitch McConnell's nickname? You seen the bourbon drip today? I'm giving me and Steve both a cowbell for that. No, it was a bad day for the National Ruble Association. A very bad day indeed. Because Letitia James, the sincerely not-to-be-fucked-with Attorney General of the state of New York, announced today that she was taking legal action to dissolve, as in pour a bucket of water on the Wicked Witch, dissolve the National Ruble Association. Because, well, as Letitia James pointed out, they've spent years and years, decades now, using their tax-exempt status as a 501c what-the-fuck-ever educational organization basically a long-running grift to provide its leadership, like, you know, people like Wayne the Peter, with a lavish lifestyle. News conference and everything. Letitia James declaring, the NRA's influence has been so powerful that the organization went unchecked for decades while top executives funneled millions into their own pockets. The NRA is fraught with fraud and abuse, which is why, today, we seek to dissolve the NRA because no organization is above the law. The lawsuit that Letitia James filed specifically names four NRA executives, past and present, who took charitable funds and used them for personal gain and awarded contracts to cronies and fellow travelers. And among other things, the court is begged by the Attorney General of New York to order Wayne the Peter and the other named individuals in the suit to pay back unlawful gains. And along the way, they also want Wayne the Peter and General Counsel John Fraser tossed out of the organization. Oh, it was a terrible, yeah. I wonder if Wayne the Peter knew that it was coming. You kind of feel like he had to, but nonetheless, one of the things that got Attorney General Letitia James ire was the habit, and it happened so many times that it rises to the level of habit, of Wayne the Peter to spend several yachting vacations. Funny how the yachts have been in the news lately. Makes you kind of wonder if, you can't help thinking back to Jerry Falwell Jr. there. I wonder if there was a Trailer Park Boys costume party on any of the yachts that Wayne the Peter was on. Because he took several yachting vacations on a yacht, the story I'm looking at says a luxury yacht. I don't know many yachts that aren't luxurious. It's just a matter of degree. Does it have its own helicopter pad? Does it have its own submarine? Did Wayne the Peter get to bring his summer intern executive assistant, who was last seen floating in an apartment complex pool somewhere in the greater Northern Virginia area, in just a little bit more than what she was born in? That is to say, nothing. Anyway, the principal stakeholder of a number of businesses that were tied in with the National Ruble Association owned the yacht. And you have to fill out these financial disclosure questionnaires, the NRA did. And never, not even once, did Wayne the Peter disclose his stays on the yacht, even though they were required to report, quote, any gift, gratuity, personal favor, or entertainment with either a retail price or fair market value in excess of $250 from any person or entity that has or is seeking to have a business relationship with or received funds from the National Ruble Association. We even get the details of the yacht. It's a 108-footer. It also has a 16-foot jet boat and two jet skis. Well, if you don't have a submarine and a helicopter pad, you're really slumming, Wayne. The crew includes a chef. And all of that means that the gift was considerably more than any $250. It, by way of an excuse, Wayne the Peter said, well, the NRA questionnaires only go to the NRA secretary. And I was afraid about all this information leaking, because everything leaks. Because, you see, he was deposed. He gave testimony under oath. And he said, I just considered the yacht a safe place to do business, not no gift. Wow. At Darlene in Connecticut says, go, Letitia. I love her. How about Ms. James for U.S. Attorney General at DOJ? Biden announced that as president, he won't interfere with Trump getting indicted. I saw that earlier today, too. Although I do like Letitia James right where she is, too. And, well, if you're the Attorney General of New York, Attorney General of the United States is actually lateral and not upward mobility. As often as not, Attorney General of New York is a stepping stone to governor of the state of New York. Would she rather be governor or U.S. Attorney? Therein lies the question. Stephen, New York says, I would love to have seen an indictment of the death yam. However, much like good IPAs of different brands are often equally good, the dissolution of America's most prolific terrorist organization is awfully satisfying. Thank you for using that term, Steve. Because remember, it was here at the Horn that we first regularly and routinely referred to the NRA as the best funded, most powerful domestic terror organization in the United States. Steve says, the fact of the matter is this, too. Letitia James is going after the GOP and Trump from the other direction because you know as well as I do that the money trail will lead to Trump, the GOP, and all the way through to St. Vladdy Daddy. Yes. I couldn't resist this earlier. There's a lot of people upset about the NRA suit today. And among them, Vladdy Daddy has a saddie. Yeah. Isn't that nice? What the fuck, asks Megan. How much hydroxychloroquine do you have to down to call Trump a civil rights activist? Well, I was thinking maybe Geraldo had read the story, had made a quick trip down to West Virginia, having read the story about the hallucinogenic zombie cicadas. Big buggy orange eyes and... but they're terribly, terribly upset about all of this. And none more upset than, of course, Nitwit Nero. Yeah. He attacked Letitia James today. Dear God, here we go.
On the moving to dissolve the NRA. I just heard about that. That's a very terrible thing that just happened. I think the NRA should move to Texas and lead a very good and beautiful life. And I've told them that for a long time. I think they should move to Texas. Texas would be a great place, or to another state of their choosing. But I would say that Texas would be a great place and an appropriate place for the NRA. This has been going on for a long time. They've been absolutely decimated by the cost of that lawsuit. And it's very sad, but I would suggest that that's what they should be doing.
Yo, Semite! Jeez.
They should move to Texas.
What were the famous words attributed to David Crockett? You may all go to hell. I am going to Texas. Right. And this won't be the end of the NRA, but it may actually push them back into what they're... You know, because the NRA was founded by Union Civil War veterans who noticed that the Union troops didn't shoot nearly as well as the Southern troops did. It was a shooting club. But at about the same time as Jerry Falwell Sr., now getting the eternal reverse pineapple in hell, about the same time that he weaponized evangelical Christianity, the NRA became a radical right-wing outfit bent on the dissolution of civil society in the United States and the encouragement of armed conflict. So they'll probably not completely go away. There's too much money there. One wonders how many firearms manufacturers who they were really just lobbyists for will come to their defense. How many YouTube personalities? One wonders where Colin Noir is, otherwise translated as Black Bowel, which is really a terrible superhero name. What was her name? The other attack creature or, well, Dan Bongino, he worked for NRA TV for a while. Then NRA TV went belly up and pointed its little claws at the sky. Dan Bongino sued a member of the media for libel. The Daily Beast was his target because Lachlan Markey wrote an article about Dan Bongino not being any longer associated with NRA TV. And because the Daily Beast does clever headlines. The headline read, Dan Bongino out at NRA TV, Bongino more. And this, of course, enraged Dan Bongino, who sued, by God, he sued the Daily Beast for writing an entirely factual piece about his exit from NRA TV. And a real-life, no-kidding George W. Bush appointee, the U.S. District Court Judge Jose E. Martinez in Florida, issued an 18-page opinion release today that buried Dan Bongino. It wasn't so much an order or an opinion as it was a crushing brief against Dan Bongino. And you knew it was going to go badly because, well, the very beginning of the opinion reads, Dan Bongino is a public figure. Which is a way of saying this case is going, the only place this case is going is out into the trash. Found that the Daily Beast and Lachlan Markey did absolutely nothing that was libelous. In fact, the court wrote, upon learning that Bongino's show would no longer air, defendant's reporter texted him and asked, heard you didn't renew with NRA TV. Bongino didn't respond, which is odd because, you know, Dan Bongino shows up on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and NRA TV, and he's always got something to say in defense of his god emperor, Donald J. Trump. The J stands for Jagoff. Bongino didn't respond. 4 days later, the reporter texts again, just circling back on this, probably publishing something today, and Bongino still doesn't respond. And that's when the article publishes, Dan Bongino out at NRA TV, Bongino more. And then the subhead says, Trump loves the guy, but the gun rights group is downsizing its media operation, and his show appears to be a casualty of those plans. And the judge noted, the first sentence continues, the National Rifle Association's media arm has dropped pro-Trump firebrand Dan Bongino, and went to the trouble to say that neither the NRA nor Dan Bongino responded to inquiries from the Daily Beast. But after publication, they responded. And Bongino whined, because, you know, maggots whine. The article conveyed that NRA TV fired him for cause. In truth, he decided not to renew his contract, he says. On that basis, he argues the article imputes to him an unfitness to perform the duties of his job and therefore constitutes libel. And Judge Martinez said, nuh-uh. And tossed the thing into file 13.
They need to move to Texas and lead a very good and beautiful life.
How can an organization lead a good and beautiful life? This is Well, further evidence of a proto-human in steep decline. Steve in New York says, the NRA lawsuit isn't as fun as what the beautiful process of discovery will reveal. It sounds like that Letitia James has already got everything, and the suit was filed based upon information obtained thus far. This is merely it's almost administrative in nature, seeking to revoke the charitable status of the NRA and to dissolve it as an institute, as a creature of New York law. Flavio pointing out, as one Twitter user commented, any attempt to spin this as an attack on gun owners will be hamstrung by the fact that it's the dues-paying members of the NRA who are the actual victims here. Letitia James did not come to play. Oh, wow. Mike in Cascadia with a note. My mother-in-law is one of those Hiroshima survivors. She lived with her family in Hiroshima. They owned a store in the middle of the city. She was 14 at the time. That day, August 6, 1945, her father sent her to the other side of the city to bring a couple of her younger siblings home. They'd been at a camp on the other side of the city. The camp was separated from the city by a large hill. So when the bomb went off, she was shielded from the blast by the hill. So she returned into the wreckage of the city with her two younger siblings in tow. Her older brother and father survived, along with the two younger siblings that she had brought from the camp. Her mother and a couple of other siblings were killed. Their store was flattened. My mother-in-law and her father picked out the bones of their dead family from the wreckage with chopsticks. My mother-in-law has led a long, healthy life. She brags that she's never been sick in her life. She's 90 years old now, and sharp as a tack. She lives with my sister-in-law in Montana. During the Korean War, she met an American soldier in Tokyo. That soldier, my father-in-law, was a soldier in the Korean War. They got married and then settled back in Montana, my father-in-law's home. There, my mother-in-law raised 7 kids. In the 1950s, she was often called Jap. Therefore, she shed all her Japanese traditions. Her kids regret that their mother never taught them the Japanese language, but that wasn't an accepted thing in Montana in the 1950s and 1960s. Now my kids and her other grandkids all embrace the Japanese culture that she now proudly shares. However, with COVID-19 and her age, she is isolated from the vibrant younger family members that she so loves. Thanks for sharing, Bob. Thank you for sharing, Mike. Your mother-in-law is a living treasure. And I wish her continued good health and still long life. Let's see, a language lesson from master practitioner of the art of word knowing, Flavio. Couillon noir means black ball, testicle, in French. It's also the couillon is the French insult for damned fool or stupid person. I've told you this before, that's why I thought it was so funny. The Shakespearean English word, the Elizabethan English word, is cullion, which means the same thing. You damn cullion! Oh, I think I'm going to have to put that one into circulation, Flavio. But he doesn't spell it French or English, cullion or couillon. It's C-O-L-I-O-N, cullion, which is closer to colon, which is why I refer to him as that dread superhero, the Black Bowel. Darlene says, "What an unbelievably amazing story about your mother-in-law. Well written, Mike. I love the way this community interacts with each other. Brother Deacon Asa says, as to Letitia James, how long before the gruesome right-wing filth machine Elliot Spitzer's Ms. James? I have a $5 bill here, says that says before the year is out. Maybe there's nothing to Elliot Spitzer her on. I'd like to think there isn't. That maybe one of the benefit or benefits of putting serious, competent women in office is that they don't have those Anthony Weiner, Elliot Spitzer sorts of issues. That's probably there's probably some bigotry in what I just said, and I apologize for it. But I don't see that's why the white wing had to work so hard to trash Hillary. There was no there. Sure, you can talk about you can talk about Bill's misdeeds all day long and twice on Sunday. But there really wasn't a lot there with regard to Hillary. It had to be manufactured. That's why we had to have but her emails. And Benghazi! And among other things, that's why the weirdo freaks of the GOP had to come up with Pizzagate. Although, I apologize for forgetting her name. The double standard still exists. What was her name? Katie. Didn't she come from Orange County in California? And she was driven out of the Congress, not based upon anything salacious that she had done, but because an extramarital affair was outed by her embittered, estranged husband. Yeah. She didn't sexually abuse anybody. The difference between Spitzer and James, Stephen New York says, is Spitzer never had the backing of the establishment. Letitia James does. This is one of those times when being a neoliberal establishment shill is a good thing.
Neoliberal establishment shill.
All right. Exactly. Yeah, Katie Hill in North L.A. County, Palmdale. Thank you, Billable Rick. That was a nasty little hit job. Without a doubt. Jeremy says, Bob, stop telling us how we interact with each other in the community. It makes our sycophant heads swell. Oh, and by the way, Darlene has awarded a cowbell to me. Vladdy Daddy has a saddy. That's hilarious and deserves a cowbell. Thank you. I'll take them where I can get them, Darlene. So, is there a shit show this evening? No, well, I mean, I know he went to, I know Nitwit Nero went to Cleveland today, and more's the pity for the people of that fine city. Pity, city, rhyming. Wow. Because I was reminded of the fact that he was going there by virtue of the fact that we had the announcement today that Mike DeWine, governor of the state of Ohio, high in the middle and round on both ends, Mike DeWine has now been diagnosed with the Rona. Why do we know that? because Mike DeWine was going to meet Nitwit Nero at the airport. His willingness to do so says a little something about Mike DeWine and takes a little bit of the shine off of whatever his attempt was to manage the Rona there in Ohio. But if you're going to meet with the God Emperor, you have to have a Rona test. Those are about the only people in this country who can get a quick turnaround on a Rona test, is anybody that's going to come into proximity of the majestic, noble garishness. So they gave Mike DeWine a Rona test, and they said, "Hey, you got the Rona. You can't be around the God Emperor." And sent him home. He claims to be, he's 74 years old, just like Trump, and claims to be asymptomatic, and will now quarantine with his wife. I think her name is Fran. And the lieutenant governor of Ohio, I guess, greeted Nitwit Nero instead, because he didn't have the Rona. I wonder, every time you hear one of these stories, you just can't help wondering, how are they keeping him from getting it? And my best guess now is intravenous plasma therapy from donors who have had the Rona and have demonstrated antibodies in their blood chemistry. It's getting very, very close to being that Sherlock Holmes situation where, you know, doing a little barbering with Occam's razor. Once you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, is the answer. But when I heard that Mike DeWine had been diagnosed with the Rona, my mind immediately cast back to Get Smart and Don Adams declaring, "Missed it by that much!" Oh, just one good sneeze. One good sneeze. So they went to the Whirlpool factory. That was the whole purpose of going to Cleveland, the Whirlpool factory. Because, see, Trump's in trouble in Ohio. And I'm still trying to this day, I haven't figured it out. Why is Ohio so reliably Republican? What is it about Ohio that makes it the gotta-have state for... I mean, yeah, there's a lot of electoral votes. I get that. But that makes it the gotta-have state for Republican presidential aspirants. I don't know. But the thing is, he traveled to Ohio because he needs to shore up Ohio. If he was even a remotely worth a fuck Republican president, they'd probably never see him in Ohio because there'd be no need. Ohio would be a lead pipe cinch, but instead, he has to fly to Ohio to try to make sure the maggots are happy. Oh, dear God, today I saw a Donald Trump Keep America Great face mask. I wish I was kidding. I was up at the Wiggling Pig getting provisions. And there it was. That's got to create some cognitive dissonance, don't you think? You've spent your money, you sent money to Donald Trump in exchange for a Keep America Great face mask. And you're actually wearing it. But at the same time, you know that the rest of your maggot brethren and sistren, think you're a commie pinko sissy for wearing a mask because it's all a hoax, according, you know, to the Orange Emperor. That's got to be good for a headache. Over on Twitter, Nipper says, LMAO, Governor DeWine has the Rona and can't be around the death yam. I think Trump may have had the Rona in December, November 2019 time frame. Just speculation on my part. Well, I'm kind of there with you. But here's the thing. On November the 19th, was it? 2019, they hurried him over to Walter Reed. And this would have been within days of the White House and the Pentagon being warned that the virus was out of control in Wuhan. It wasn't on his schedule. And they went by car instead of helicopter, which was weird. And he was shown being hustled into a limousine. I think that's probably when the plasma therapy begins. Granted, I realize that I'm verging dangerously close to Alex Jones territory. But I'm not at the point of talking about monkey jellyfish hybrids from the markets of old Kowloon. This actually makes sense in a sort of panicky way. Especially since there was never any data or any reportage that came out of that trip. So he's now struggling to hold together his base in states that ought to be lead pipe cinches for him. And thus he went to Ohio today, to a Whirlpool factory, which has had a hard time of late. And as to Ohio itself, well, Steve, who himself is originally a Buckeye, says, in the modern era, Ohio really isn't that reliably anything. It is, however, quite the predictor. Okay, that makes some sense. Okay, now what? Asks Silent R. Lamar. I have my Kentucky Straight Bourbon drip. I inserted it at around 9 a.m. Personally, I still like my bourbon in a very tall glass with no rocks. Rocks equals ice for the learning impaired. Well, I can see the bottom of my glass. Need to pour more bourbon. Oh, yes, my liver went on vacation, so while the liver's away, the bourbon shall play. Okay, that's a cowbell for Silent R. I saved my last drink of bourbon to have with you. I always loved the way Humphrey Bogart says bourbon in Casablanca. At least somebody noticed. Jeremy in Vermont said, pity city boy, Bob, your rhyming timing's been great tonight. I'll try to keep it to a minimum. You were expecting me to rhyme something with minimum, maybe? See, don't get in a rut. So back to Ohio. I wonder if they played maybe Chrissy Hines, the Pretenders, My City Was Gone, now that we know she's at least a marginal maggot. There he was at the Whirlpool factory, standing in front of a bunch of cardboard boxes. It looks like they laid on the pumpkin glow spray tan extra hard today. And he's back to obsessing about water again. God, I wish this was fake.
make the machines. You know what I'm talking about. We now have the water that you need instead of stupid, where you have much less water than you need, and you just keep going over and over again. I had people say they pressed the button five times. They didn't have enough water. And the same thing with sinks, toilets, and showers. You go into a new home, you turn on the faucet, no water comes out. You turn on the shower. If you're like me, you can't wash your beautiful hair properly.
You know, when he says people told him, five or six people told him, that means that he was baffled by, you know what that, you push the button four or five times, nothing comes out. He's been in a men's room that has one of those motion sensor faucets, and he can't find the button. And in order to reduce water waste, and it is, okay, I want to be fair, it's a little frustrating, because the water turns off very quickly, and then you have to do that wave your hands in front of the faucet thing again. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big a deal. It really isn't. But he hates it because it baffles him. He's like one of the creatures from, I don't know, 2001 A Space Odyssey. It just sort of grunting and flailing around with his neighbor's thigh bone. And so that's what the five or six people is about. It took me a while to sort it out, but I think that's what it is. You know how I talk about taking advice from ancient civilizations that were baffled by rain and wheelbarrows? Well, it's sort of the same thing. He's baffled by plumbing. Modern plumbing. And so, consequently, he can't handle motion sensor activated lavatories. And that gives us a better idea of just what a moron he is. Because this is past being 74 years old and sot in his ways. Billable Rick says, have some sympathy for Trump railing about how hard it is to get a good flow of water going. The new efficient sinks don't come with any instructions. Not that Trump would have been able to read them anyway. Then again, talking about having a hard time getting a flow going, maybe he's transposing from his prostate. Maybe that's for the nearest thing to a thought center that he has now. Megan, so you're saying that COVID Caligula is not bright enough to use smart electronics? Not by a long shot. Oh, and by the way, Billable Rick says, Bob, stop making fun of the sparkle fart, the propelled purity brigade, you neoliberal shill. Goddamn neoliberal shill. So four or five people have told you that you press the button and you press the button. I would almost guarantee you that he's pressed the sensor. I mean, think about this. He's pressed the sensor, the motion sensor, on the faucet. I pressed it four or five times. Where's the fucking water? That's it. And there are motion sensor toilets, too. Where's the handle? I can't make it flush. I think we've legitimately solved a mystery here this evening.
No water comes out. You turn on the shower. If you're like me, you can't wash your beautiful hair properly. You waste 20 minutes longer. Please come out. The water, it drips, right? You know what I'm talking? They put restrictors on. I got rid of that. I signed it out. That's common sense.
It's common sense. It's common sense.
So this is his big selling point for the Buckeye State? I increased your water pressure? How many Ohioans are dead from COVID-19? How many cases are there? How many will there be tomorrow? What's going to happen when they open their schools? Well, if places like Georgia and North Carolina are any indication, the disease is just going to romp right through. Cherokee County, Georgia. Now, we got to get our precious little youngins back in school because they're getting all depressed. Now, get them on back here. Everything's going to be fine. The second grade in Cherokee County, the class had one day of school, and now the entire second grade class is in quarantine because the Rona already got going. Is that just a Georgia thing? No, because it happened in North Carolina at a classroom, a fourth grade classroom, that Mike Pence, little neck geek, commended for going back to school. They're in lockdown too. They're quarantined. Teachers quarantined, the aides quarantined, the class is quarantined. But hey, the kids that get it and don't die, well,
they'll be immune. And you know what? They probably got the Rona because they couldn't wash their hands well enough because the fucking water won't come out.
Oh!
So now when you actually go into a new home and pay a lot of money, you turn on a faucet and water actually comes out. Isn't that nice?
Really? How about that? You go into a new home and turn on the water, and the water runs because the local water utility's already turned on the water. I guess it's free.
That was a regulation that was put in by a lot of people that don't understand life. Because you end up using the same amount of water. You just let it run three times longer.
Behold.
Make the machines, you know what I'm talking about.
Behold the intellect of this God Emperor of ours. And some of this stuff is right up there with Yo Semite. This comes with a warning, a hockey puck warning, of course. But Dave in Talibandiana, just get the hockey puck, sit still, don't run screaming into the hallway or anything, because apparently he decided this afternoon to take a run at the flora of Talibandiana. You know, where his vice president was governor once.
It's Idaho. And the worst is when he's in, like, Indiana, and he says it's great to be with the people of Florida, and you have palm trees all over the place.
Huh?
But he does it all the time. There's something going on.
Pure projection. He's talking about Joe Biden. And now there are palm trees in Indiana. I can explain this one, too. I can. There's a town in Indiana called Kokomo. which the Beach Boys, many years back, convinced a great number of ignorant, geographically ignorant Americans, is actually an island in the Caribbean where there would be palm trees. Nitwit Nero thinks there are palm trees in Indiana because he heard the Beach Boys singing about Kokomo. I'm getting on Megan's last nerve really early this evening. What the goddamn fuck is he talking about? He's taking credit for indoor household plumbing now? What the actual fuck? I know. This is where the bourbon drip comes in, Megan. All right, we pushed. I certainly pushed Silent R. Lamar over the line. Okay, I've had it with stupid. Can't handle it. As an architect, the new green codes and water conservation, I sit here designing an affordable housing project, and this asshole wants to waste water. Hey, Trump, the places you're going to have a problem with, other assholes leaving the water running and clogging the toilets. To stop the stupid, they use water conservation equipment. Basically, Donald, they say you're too stupid to use handles. Probably true. Trump and water, part deux. Oh, we're using French this evening, are we? Bilbo Rick says, Bob, for a guy who's afraid to give a speech in the rain for fear of his spray tan running off his face, Trump sure is obsessed with water. No wonder he likes to watch Russian hookers give golden showers. Well, again, the eternal question, what's the difference between a garbanzo and a chickpea? Donald Trump never paid to have a garbanzo on him. Ah. Ron and Raleigh, plumbing industry. The entire plumbing industry retooled over 20 years ago for water conservation. There's no way in hell they've gone back to the old standard. He was probably using a push-button metered faucet. You've got to be quick, and the water doesn't just keep running. Light bulb manufacturers are not going back to incandescent bulbs. What a fucking dumbass. Well, don't take it all away from him, Ron. He's still hoping for steam catapults on nuclear aircraft carriers.
We're going to use the fucking steam.
Steve in New York with a theory. Palm trees in Indiana. I think he's saying that Joe Biden thinks he's in Florida and Biden says there are palm trees in Indiana. Of course, that's not true. And elephant. It's the elephant that makes it art. Billable Rick, on the other hand, pondering the palm trees in Indiana. First thing I think about is when I hear Indiana is palm trees. Think of Indiana as the Beverly Hills Sunset Boulevard of the West of the Midwest. No, let's don't and say we didn't. Billable Rick adding, Trump is President Seinfeld. It's a presidency about senseless musings having no bearing on anything. It's a presidency about nothing. And, wait a minute. This is quality. Randy in PA.
And if you go to Flint, Michigan, the water that comes out is brown, just like the people.
Randy says, I added that last part. Oh, God. There were lots of grievances on display today in Cleveland. He's upset that he gets bad press for using chemical weapons on American citizens exercising their First Amendment rights.
And horrible things on you, but you're not allowed to do anything. So, the police didn't want to have anything to do with the convention in a great state, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, for the Democrats. You couldn't use tear gas. You couldn't use pepper spray. You couldn't use anything. Think of how ridiculous this is.
All right. That is President Trump speaking live in the Keystone.
And that's Fox News saying, nah, enough. No. We're not going to run any more of this. He's come unglued. And, of course, if you're inclined to buy a new appliance, may I encourage you and you encourage others. Stop telling us who to encourage, Bob. Don't purchase any Whirlpool appliances. Because, again, this was Whirlpool Corporation that plasters its cardboard boxes with Merkin flags. But then underneath the Merkin flag, it says washer. And then it says lavis, and then it says lavador, Speak American, big AAA, so as we all can understand Lavadora. Love you. Right. But maybe avoid and help others to avoid Whirlpool appliances, because they're the ones that invited him there. That means that Whirlpool is a corporation that supports Donald Trump. I don't want anything that even remotely supports Donald Trump. In my home. Oh, and today it was he was also mad at the light bulbs, as Ron and Raleigh intimated. Because, of course, he is.
Out of the city to get rid of it. It's hazardous waste. So I put the old bulb back in, and you can use the new one, you can use anything. I guess it's competition. But I particularly like it because I don't look so orange. So it's very nice. Very nice.
So he does, this is historic, he has admitted that he looks like a great yam of death.
I don't look so orange.
You know what they shouldn't have done today? They should not have matched his makeup to the cardboard boxes behind him. He almost blends in. It's like there's a suit with no head on it talking. And cardboard boxes. Then again, maybe it's not almost like that. Maybe that's exactly what it is. It's kind of like back in the day when my dad would belly up to a bar. It didn't happen much, but he would from time to time. He'd sit down, bartender would say, "What do you have?" And he says, "I'll have a Reagan beer." Bartender'd look at him. My dad would look at him. No head! I thought it was funny. So we're well into the second hour of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And we got $575 to raise. Oh, $570. Sorry. Arnold says that somewhere out there is $20 banging around. Thank you, Arnold. So that's $550. And that means we're trying to wipe out, let's see, five, two, two, three. We're trying to wipe out Thursday, which is 200, yesterday, 200, and $150 a Tuesday. It'd be great if we could make some progress on that. Now, if you want to help out, everything you need to do is right there on the main page at headon.live. Lee in New York says, "I only want to see Trump going down one whirlpool." And Billable Rick says, "Trump on Fox News. When Fox News gives Clorox Claudius the hook, you know how far he's fallen. Even his own peeps are getting tired of hearing his BS. Maybe the Seed Spilling News Network, yeah, that would be ONAN, the network that spills its news upon the ground, can pick up the coverage of Trump's mindless musings where Fox left off." I just need to find that clip of Geraldo declaring him a civil rights activist. And when I mentioned that a little bit ago, by the way, Ron and Raleigh chimed in and said, "Next thing you know, someone is going to call that orange fuck a national treasure." I would not be in the least surprised. Nope. So let's run over and check in with Todd. See what's going on. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Bob. How are you today?
It's an okay day.
Okay. Well. Wow. I haven't talked to you since I couldn't remember.
Well, it was last week and. I've been anxious to hear from you, just because I wanted to see if you saw the pictures of the paella on social media.
You know, I did not because I did not. I've had other personal stuff going on.
That's understandable. No worries.
Are they on the the live is the wonderful new setup with the live horn live where you can scroll up.
Nah, it's just on my Facebook page. It's on my Instagram and it's on Twitter.
Oh, well, see, well, okay, because I'm not on Facebook. That's why. Yeah, but I can pull it up because you can still look at people's pages. I didn't know if it was on your.
I thought you'd be impressed.
Well, of course. I mean, we had been talking about it. You know, I was. I'm in shock you're still doing the show once again. Now that you have the watch that fits the crevasse in the eighth one, it's just amazing.
Oh, I was so excited, Todd, because the maiden voyage of that paella pan. If I had ordered 1 inch more in diameter on the pan, if I'd ordered a 16 instead of a 15, wouldn't have fit. Wouldn't have been able to close it.
Oh, that was a good feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And Agnes and Ferg loved it.
You had clams and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. And the next one's going to be like sausage and ham and ground, the canecca and ham and ground chorizo and onions and garlic and green peppers and mushrooms and stuff.
Man. Yeah, your backyard, wow.
And even though he gives me shit for it, I told Brother Deacon Asa, that paella pan is a perfect deep dish pizza pan.
Of course it is.
Because what I love about deep dish pizza is the fact that you can take that dough, stretch it, you get the pan hot, you know, with a little bit of oil in the bottom, something that'll take a real high heat, like avocado oil, peanut oil, and the dough fries when you put it in the pan, so you get this beautiful crispy bottom, and then you build onto it.
And the inside is nice and soft.
Exactly, puffs up real pretty like.
Right. See, Chicago pizza done right is great when it's done right, but it's...
Although the New Yorkers will tell you that it's sheer heresy. That's not a pizza. That's a casserole.
Well, they're different types of pizza. I mean, it's just a different type of pizza. Because when you do the regular flat pizza, you know, you have to learn that you might want everything on the pizza, but what happens is if you put too much, it doesn't cook properly. And, you know, you end up with a crappy pizza. You know what I mean? There is an art to that. But, yeah, I know exactly. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because a Chicago pizza done wrong is why New Yorkers say the pizza is the best.
Well, see, I just got it. Brother Deacon Asa said, and again, why have pizza when you can have Chicago stew?
See, because when you do it wrong, it's too soggy and it's just, you know, it's moist and it's like this.
Right, and you got to get that sizzle. You got to get that to get that crust going.
See?
Right.
Damn it. Man, you need a restaurant. This food thing, this is a whole shoot. But see, you learn that. I mean, I went through this whole thing. Like, even with my dad, I would go over there sometimes on the weekend. Like, hey, you know, we had the pizza stone. You know, it was football season, whatever. And it was good, you know. So going through all these gyrations. And then when you really learn how to make that dough, you don't have to measure anything. It's just like you know when it's right. It smells right. It looks right. It's the right texture. And I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, when you like to cook, it's an ongoing thing. It's just a wonderful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, then the other thing was the oysters. I did.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, roasted the oysters, opened them up, put a little dot of butter on each oyster, and hit it with some Creole seasoning, closed the lid again, popped them back. Like I said earlier in the week, Agnes knocked down a dozen of those son of a guns.
You know, once you get started, you know what I mean? Come on. Did you make any Bienville? Where's the Bienville?
No, that's too involved.
Okay.
That's a special occasion kind of thing.
Yeah. You have to make, I mean, there's no point in doing it. Like, you have to have a whole tray of the ingredients and then stuff them, I guess.
And the controversy rages. Steve in New York says, no, Todd, you're wrong. Chicago pizza is not pizza. I like it, but it's not pizza. Randy in PA says, I love my thin crust pizza, abundanza, lots of toppings.
See? There's, but you see, you have to appreciate it all. Now, you know, just that. But I tell you, you know, you can always tell a good pizza. Now, you know, I'm from that area where, you know, we're famous for pizza. And
because it's all about the water. It's all about the water you use in the crust.
It's that water in the crust, right? And you know, and you can
thank
tell
you.
When you get to
thank you. Place. Thank you for letting me use that term, water.
Water. It's true. I didn't even know we said it wrong. And I still don't. I have to really strain to say.
I don't think there's any right or wrong, but it's just the delightful. It's the delightful linguistic diversity that still does manage to exist in this country, despite the great leveling of television.
Yo, Adrian.
Yo, Semite. Yo, Semanites.
You. People really do say
yous in South Philly.
That's the truth.
Well, it's yous over there. You get over to Pittsburgh and it's yins. Yinzers.
Oh.
Yins want to go down to Eaton Park and get some gravy fries? Watch the Stillers?
Colloquialisms are fascinating. That's a whole other thing. You ever look in the inside of a some dictionaries, and they'll tell you local slang.
Well, the reason for yous and yins and y'all and yous guys is because of the fundamental problem of the second person plural of the English language.
Mm.
See, in French, you've got tu and vous.
Mm-hmm.
Do and whatever is the plural in German. But in English, you got you and you. And in a nation of immigrants, people had to sort out a way to differentiate between first and second person singular and second person plural. And so in the South, you get you all as opposed to you one.
Mm-hmm.
In Western PA, you get you ones, which transforms into yins. Yous is a matter of putting an S on the end of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get yous guys.
Now, that middle Pennsylvania sounded German, which would make sense.
It does. It absolutely does. Oh, and speaking of fun with fun with that language, hot on the heels of Yo Semites, we found out about a new country, courtesy of Nitwit Nero. Oh, yes. It's a land where people are known for the qualities of their, God, this is painful.
Yeah.
Of their legs.
Hmm.
It's a special place. Yeah. There it is. Yeah.
You see it on the map?
I'm looking. I want you to have the audio. You know, his UN ambassador Nimrata Haley gave us Bonomo. Remember Bonomo, the imaginary island nation.
Yeah, she got punked.
Yeah, she got punked bad. Somewhere probably in the same neighborhood is a country where people are known for their thighs.
Shifting production to Thailand and to Vietnam. Thailand and Vietnam, two places that I like their leaders very much. They're very nice to us. Do they take advantage of the United States?
Thailand.
There's so many ways to go with that. Like, like, does he, you know, there's so many ways to go. But let's take the simplest. Occam, you know, Mr. Occam is around, so. Oh, so he just, you know, he can't. Okay. So
I wonder if they're, given what you and I have talked about in the past, I wonder if they are boneless, skinless thighs.
Yes, he has. Yes. I would think that's his inclination. Right. It's a narrow country with skinny thighs. Thailand,
yes.
You know, that's his inner urging for strippers, plus he can't read, and it's all just...
I can't read! Yes.
But you know what, I know other people want to talk to you tonight, there's so much going on, but before we get too deep, I have to say, what did Steve say about, he said something that was hilarious. Oh my God, what was Steve talking about? I know Lamar, and Lamar, be happy, Lamar. Your liver is fine. I saw him, he was driving down the street, I saw him about an hour ago, and he was in a Maker's Mark van, so you're okay.
Oh, so Silent R's liver's gone walkabout?
Yeah. He said the liver on vacation. He's making good use of his time.
Oh, I'm glad to know it.
Yeah, you know, just, we can get that clear up. I forget what Steve said. Something hilarious. It was funny.
Oh, and by the way, in German, it's du and ihr, I-H-R.
Du, ihr.
Yeah, you and you plural. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what English is, a very difficult language, obviously, because look how many Americans think English is American and not English. That's where you start. So that's a small hurdle.
Oh, by the way, adding to the cultural confusion, Ron and Raleigh, note this pizza thing. The pizza thing is a regional thing, except New Yorkers are assholes about it. Okay, now I'll get emails. I like both New England. I like both New England clam chowder and Manhattan clam chowder, depending on my mood. There's been an argument on Stephanie Miller. This is encouraging. Stephanie's a professional broadcaster, and it's nice to know that her program devolves into this sort of debate too. There's been an argument on Stephanie Miller over what are pigs in a blanket. I would never have dreamed.
No argument. No, stop. Full stop. But there's no fucking argument. What that is? Come on.
Well, not to you and not to me. But according to Ron and Raleigh, the Polish contingent over on Stephanie's show insist on calling stuffed cabbage pigs in a blanket. But everyone knows that sausages in dough are pigs in a blanket.
Okay. We're going to court. There's no.
we're going to get declaratory judgmental relief.
I'm filing motions now. You understand? I had the software. I do have that pleading software. And I have an old XP version. I can do it. No. I mean, come on. No, a pig in a blanket, you know what that is.
And I love stuffed cabbage, but it's stuffed cabbage.
It's stuffed cabbage.
I think the word that my buddy's grandma used was hlooky.
Hlooky, yes. With the rice inside, right?
Yeah. And the beautiful, thin, spicy tomato sauce that goes over them that they simmer in.
You know, damn it, making me up. Everyone should try stuffed cabbage. All you need is some toothpicks, a nice metal strainer that works well to let the steam out. I don't want to get off on that, but I mean, everybody should experience this. You cook your rice the day ahead, you know, or a few hours ahead. You take the work out. It'll be done. It's easy. That's the easiest thing to cook. I don't even know why people buy rice cookers. It's like, you know what? Give me 10 minutes with you. You don't need a rice cooker. Just get a pot, the right type of pot, a tight lid. That's all you need. Do not buy a rice cooker. But I'm sorry, I'm on my.
Oh no, it's like when you're going to make fried rice. You make your rice a day ahead, and you put it in a bowl, and you put the bowl in the fridge, because you want to develop all those wonderful starches. Yeah. Stickiness.
Then it's nice, and sticky, and ready.
Yeah.
And then that's half your prep is done. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, this pizza. You know, but it's the truth. Now, New Yorkers are snobby about their pizza. And the good places, you see, when you get a slice, it fills the plate up. It's not cheap, but you get what you pay for. It fills the plate. I was thinking about pizza the other day. Let me tell you why. And this is not at all why I called. But you remember the pizza connection, which was hooked up with that French connection with the heroin back in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Okay. So I come to find out when we moved out to the suburbs outside of Norristown, which is the county seat in Montgomery County, heavily Italian. And then we were in this town that's really like on the edge of being rural, bucolic. But they had the best pizza at the pizza parlor across from this. I lived in a massive apartment complex. When I say massive, it was like a small town. That's how large the apartment complex was. But it was just massive. It was right at abutted the Audubon Berg Sanctuary. Just woof, massive. Anyway, so Tony's Pizza. This place was true Italian. You go in there, and I mean, this was in like 1977, 78, 79. A slice was $1.50 then. That was a lot of money for a slice. But guess what? It tasted like it. That cheese, I can taste it now. Twangy. That real mozzarella. I mean, this was the shit. And everything came straight from Italy. There was the guy named Sal behind the counter. He spoke Sicilian. If he was in there, he was on the phone speaking Italian. Then these guys would come in these big black cars like Cadillac or Lincoln with black briefcases, sunglasses, and they would kick us all out. And remember, this was the only place that had a pinball machine. And when you pop the game, you win a game, that's a big deal. I mean, you know, it was a recession on, and, you know, that was a big deal. You leave your game.
Yeah, that big loud whack. Yeah, when you get the free game.
Yes. And they'd kick everybody out. Say, go, you got to go. And the older kids would be like, don't look at them, go. This is when the guys would come in with the black suitcases. And that's what they were doing. That was the distribution point. But I just came up because they had the best pizza. It was just crazy. It was like, man, you guys are just, we had no, it was right under our noses. We didn't even know it. But that's not why I called, but that came up. I don't know. I was talking to one of my old friends, and that came up because finally they got raided. Now, it was always weird because it would just, like, stop everything and kick everybody out. Like, you had to go. And we were like, no, but I didn't get my this, that. And I'm like, no, you have to go. But anyway. So, you know, I'm going to breathe because I think this is important and I want to ask you some questions. And I know we talked about food, but this is really important. Now, public radio interviewed Letitia James just prior to your program today. And, she better not come down here with that shit. Talking about dissolving the NRA. She better have some good security. Because,
oh, I'm sure there's some people fucking hot.
I don't have to convince you. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. See, this is how they're going to do it. They're going to come for her guns. That New York Yankee, she done coming for her guns because she coming for the NRA.
Yep. And that's going to inadvertently hurt Biden, you know, in a roundabout way.
Well, you know, there's something else that's gonna. I'm glad you brought that up. You're good at that. By the way, Randy in PA reminds us, if you go to IHOP, pigs in a blanket are sage flavored Jimmy Dean's wrapped in their pancakes. Ew. And Steve in New York reminds us that Thailand is north of Shinland and Calfland. And south of Buttland, I guess.
I guess that's what somebody had to say. The Southland is a strange place.
Where the fuck is Thailand, says Megan? Is Colonel Sanders the president?
We're going to get to this. Believe me. We're going to get to him, but I'm not cutting you off. Go ahead, because there's a whole lot of stuff I have to ask you.
Yeah, let me just clear a couple of these things here. As far as Polish dishes, James in Illinois, Gwumpki. Not sure on the spelling, but it's pronounced Gwumpki, stuffed cabbage with rice and pork, I think. I'll take a double order of that. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yep.
But I was going to... I was going to... because I'm always kind of... sensitive to this sort of thing. I saw a story earlier today of, and it reminded me there. I know journalists want to do their job, and I want journalists to do their jobs. I actually respect journalism, as opposed to say this maladministration. But there are just some questions that don't need to be asked right now. And I know that makes me sound like some sort of authoritarian, but you don't. This is going to be the dirtiest presidential campaign in the history of the country. Nothing's going to be off limits, Todd. And it will be one lie from the maggot side. It'll be one lie after another. I mean, Facebook took down troll farm pages today that were masquerading as African Americans for Trump.
Shit.
Okay, yeah, both of them, and Herman Cain's dead. So, over at NPR, Biden gave an interview today. And this is not a case of Biden saying the wrong thing. He said the right thing. It is the question itself that is a problem. The question was posed by Lulu Garcia Navarro for NPR, and she was referring to something that was said by Kamala Harris last year. Kamala Harris had said that a cleaned up, straightened up, fumigated Justice Department, those are my words, would, quote, have no choice but to investigate Trump after his presidency. So I guess because there was no other good question to ask, Lulu Garcia Navarro asks Joe Biden about that, about prosecuting Trump after he leaves office if Biden can win.
He shouldn't have responded.
You know what? I think you're right. He should have said, "Well, that's really speculative in nature." And the other side of that coin, though, is that we've all agreed that the one thing we never want to hear is it's time to look forward and not back in regard to Corona Caligula's one-man crime. Well, not even one man, but his crime spree. It's one of those moments where silence is golden. And it's not just golden from the candidate. Unless the reporter has an agenda and just wants to make things, create another issue for them to lie about, the silence is golden on the part of the questioner, too. So, Lulu Garcia Navarro of NPR asks him, should the president, an ex-president, be prosecuted based on what Kamala Harris had said?
Oh, no, that's a terrible...
NPR put it this way. Trump has been connected with alleged illegal activity by his former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, and investigators working for former special counsel Robert Mueller. What isn't clear is whether federal authorities are investigating the president or whether prosecutors might take action against Trump if he no longer enjoyed the privileges that protect him from being indicted as a sitting president. Maybe there's some of us out there who are like, yeah, prosecute. I'm that guy. But I've also got enough common sense that you don't telegraph. The pitcher does not stand on the mound, Todd, and say, okay, I'm gonna send a 90 mile an hour fastball right down the fat part of the plate. I sure hope you're not ready for it.
That is of the same ilk. This is why you brought it up when I brought up the NRA and Letitia. I see the similarity.
Okay,
don't poke that horse. This is fodder for the other side.
Don't walk up to hornets' nests with baseball bats.
You don't have to. There's too many other things to address.
So Biden responds that it would be very unusual for a former president to be prosecuted. Okay, I can agree with that. It would be so unusual that it really hasn't ever happened before. And he said that it wouldn't be his call, but that he'd let an impartial Justice Department make the decision and come to their own conclusions. Biden said,
"Yeah, but who's going to be in charge of the Justice Department now? Now that pick is going to be under scrutiny. Are you going to prosecute the previous? They're going to ask that question now. I'm sorry, I'm not trying. I'm just thinking of that."
So Biden said, in terms of saying, "I think the president violated the law. I think the president did this. Therefore, go on and prosecute him." I won't do that because it would be improper.
Well, he might not. But what about his Justice pick? His attorney general pick, I mean. That's what I'm trying to say.
And Biden said it would be a very unusual thing and probably not very good for democracy. But it's going to be the Justice Department's call. Well, that's okay. There's way too much nuance in that. And that's not how it's going to be played when it's time to run the ads.
Joe Biden wants to put me in prison. Do you want to let Joe Biden put me in prison? You got to reelect me if you don't want Joe Biden to put me in prison. I'll put Joe Biden in prison.
Yep.
I mean, isn't that how it plays?
That's how. And guess what? They're going to pair that with. They started off investigating us when we weren't even in office yet, and this is how it ends. They're still investigating us.
Because he's already declared that Cyrus Vance Jr.'s investigation, in which Deutsche Bank has actually turned over his financial information and didn't really even bother to ask Mother May I of Nitwit Nero. They just turned the shit over. Well, he says,
it's another part of the Democrat witch hunt. It's just a hoax. It's part of...
And this stuff apparently goes back to him lying about his finances when he was when Michael Cohen was trying to arrange for him to buy the Buffalo Bills.
Well, this is why he has to win. You see, that's kind of a bad thing in a way, because now, I mean, he was already off tops. You know, like, they're going to have to do what they have to do to keep him in office because he'll be prosecuted. I mean, it's there. But you know what I like about that is that now the Deutsche Bank connection is not—it's out of the ether and it's into the factual mainstream media now. Finally, after all these years,
and it probably has the folks at Mazars filling their BVDs because they know that Cyrus Vance already has the stuff straight from Deutsche Bank. So if there has been any manipulation of the data at Mazars. Then it's gonna shine like the sun on a cloudless summer day.
They you know what? Somebody is pooping in their pants because that's some wonderful corroboration there, isn't it?
Yeah, and any discrepancies are going to be likely deemed to be monkey business by the Mazars people.
So there's a lot of things at play in this because you've got the dummy corporations, you know, like the shell corporations. Then you've got when they get the tax returns, because that's where it's going to end up. Like, okay, you declared this, you overvalued these properties consistently. There's a pattern here. They almost might be to get some RICO on that, maybe, if there are other people involved. I don't know. They might be stretching it, but they might be able to. Because that could be construed in one aspect of RICO is an ongoing criminal enterprise. Then there's the conspiracy.
Right, pattern and practice.
Right. I mean, you know, I don't know. You're a lawyer. I'm just going.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But
well, you're closest. Well, you're our counsel. You know, so this is hairy, and now we know. Okay, wow, see.
Well, you know, Megan gets what we're talking about. She said, "Sigh, I took Taekwondo for 3 years. There's something called telegraphing your move to an opponent in sparring, meaning don't signal what move you're going to make to an opponent." and adds, going by my 18 years in the D.C. metro area, Biden's probably signaling that he'll appoint a pit bull in the AG position, and that person will pursue prosecution against the Trump administration. Only he can't telegraph that this early in the election season because he doesn't want to turn off possible voters.
And please, let me say this. I feel very strongly that I do not want Kamala Harris as a pick. That's just me. Only because she's very good at what she does now, and she might be an excellent attorney general because she's really good at what she does. And we need – it's hard to get a seat as a senator in Congress, as a senator. That's a big seat. You don't want to give that up. We need all our set pieces. I'm just bouncing.
Wouldn't you love to see her looking down the dais at Brett Kavanaugh?
Damn right. She will pick him apart. She will – look, she'll turn him into a diaper baby. My God. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Come on, it's got to be now. People hate Susan. So there's a lot of moving parts here, but there are a lot of qualified people who will be able to step in as president. And I think this is—I don't know what they're thinking about in the Biden camp, but you have to think about. We need—he's going to need senators to get this agenda through. If we haven't learned that by now, we're not paying attention. And we have to work on the other side and get these state houses. You know, but. This is, you know what they didn't mention about Letitia, though, and that's how we started off down this road. It's so much, man. This shit happens so fast. It's like if I go a week without talking to you, it's so much that happens. But Letitia, nobody mentioned Maria Butina. They didn't mention the thorough Russian infiltration into the NRA. They didn't mention that at all on public radio. Why is that?
I don't know.
I think that's important.
I think it is. I mean, help me here. Flesh it out.
I'm going to have to do, yes, I have to, because I don't want to, somebody's covering something up. It must be sensitive to someone, because we have a bona fide Russian spy who was incarcerated and sent away for infiltrating the NRA, a real-life spy, like from the movie.
Yeah, I saw somebody on social media when the NPR story broke, said, "Well, Maria Butina just spit-taked a big bite of borscht. All that effort for nothing." And going back to Lulu Garcia Navarro's question. Darlene right. says, seriously, though, Bob, aren't you Sunday or Monday night quarterbacking Biden's response? That's a terrible line for Biden to walk in answering the question. Biden knows he has to bring in the left wing of the Democratic Party that does not want to hear equivocation. I think his response was actually okay. And isn't what's-her-face Navarro a Republican by trade? No, that's a different woman. Once a Republican, always a Republican. My beef is more with the reporter asking the question as opposed to how Biden answered it, because that partakes with the old Lyndon Johnson thing about put it out there that I asked my opponent if he's stopped having sex with farm animals, and mm-hmm. the story, probably apocryphal, is that. His campaign manager looked at him and said, LBJ, I can't do that. We ain't got no evidence of that. And LBJ just grinned and said, I know, I just want to hear him deny it.
You know,
that's what this is. There's no right answer to the question that she put.
No, but you know, it takes, and just like, who was the lady you just mentioned, the caller?
Oh, Darlene.
Darlene, I'm sorry, I blanked out, Darlene. And I think it's bad, it's not productive maybe to look in hindsight, especially when you're on the spot like Joe Biden, but he has such a good heart, but maybe he needs to get used to saying, well, I'm going to just follow the letter of the law, or just, you know, give something, a blank, pat answer that you can't really say anything about. They can't make, you know, what can they say? Oh, well, I didn't like his answer, that's it. Don't just give just enough information. You don't have to respond to that. You know, how can you be wrong with saying I'm going to follow the letter? You know, our administration will follow the letter of the law. Keep it simple. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well,
and you know, Biden can't tiptoe through this, and he's kind of been doing that. Biden can't tiptoe through this campaign. And there are going to be hard questions. But that question was only asked to generate clicks.
It was bait. It was clickbait. Exactly. Yep. It was. I wish you had chuckled and just said, "Oh, you're funny." Something like that would have been funny. I mean, that's once again.
Well, I mean, he did give the right answer. In other words, he said he's going to be different than Trump. Trump thinks, and you know, he said, it's not my, you know, the department, the DOJ is not the president's personal lawyer. And I mean, look, the Justice Department is not the president's private law firm. The Attorney General is not the president's private lawyer. I will not interfere with the Justice Department's judgment of whether or not they think they should pursue the prosecution of anyone that they think has violated the law.
And that's not a bad answer. It's just in this climate, in time, that's the only thing.
Joe Biden won't say that he won't prosecute our dear God Emperor.
They didn't want to take our guns. You see, they're getting rid of the NRA. I'm telling you, that is not going to play well here. When people hear that shit around here, oh my God, get out of the way. That is,
oh, and the great pigs in blanket controversy is now blooming. Barbara just sent a note. Bob, in the 50s, I knew Polish kids from coal mining towns in Pennsylvania, and they called stuffed cabbage pigs in a blanket. On the other hand, Elbert in Rhode Island says, I love a multi-meat deep dish pizza. There are lots of non-chain pizza places here in Rhode Island. The one thing I dislike about pizzas up here is they cut the slices too wide. I never had to fold a pizza slice while I was living in Texas or Georgia.
But that's the way it's served in the Northeast. It's a big wide. Like, that's how you do it. You fold it in half, and you put the point in the mouth and take a big bite. And then you let the grease kind of drip into the paper plate for a couple of seconds. But, you know, with that good mozzarella and that. Oh, and then sprinkle some of the hot pepper, crushed hot pepper on top, and let it kind of settle into the grease.
Yeah, because that extracts the hotness.
Yes. This is a problem now. I'm feeling like a junkie now. I'm starting to scratch. This is crazy. So let me ask you this. This is important. Now, about the security risk that can also be called the President of the United States. Did you see Morning Joe just today?
Caught some of it.
I thought it was an extra, extra good show today.
I mean, as far as they go.
As far as they go. They covered some good information. But, you know, that whole week when they kept playing clips from Swan's interview, I thought that it was a show. I didn't know anything really about the interview. It was just in the morning they played a little bit. And I didn't bother to kind of search it. But after that last installment a couple of days ago, I watched the whole thing. And it was bone-jarring to me. It was absolutely bone-jarring. I mean, I'm still watching it. I just cannot believe what I'm seeing. This is a learning tool. This should be required viewing for every American in the United States, wherever you live. If you're an American and you vote, you need to see this. We can see how really stupid that the president. I'm not even getting to the mental illness. I'm just talking just straight stupid. And if you look at him, his affect, he looks like a demented old man. He has the vacant eyes of a demented individual. And that's exactly how many demented people act when they are faced with a little adversity or a tough question. Some people bristle, some people.
Well, I got another example of that. He's desperate to try to keep the evangelicals in his camp. Because even some of those are waking up, so you get this.
No religion, no anything. Hurt the Bible, hurt God. He's against God, he's against guns, he's against energy.
talking about Joe Biden.
He'll hurt the Bible. He'll hurt God.
I mean, this is straight. Do you remember the name of the hospital in Idiocracy?
I don't.
St. God's Memorial Hospital.
He'll hurt God.
Most, you know, all-powerful, most powerful force in the universe. And
he'll hurt God. He doesn't like guns. He doesn't like energy.
This is the kind of babbling that all too many of us have experience with our elderly beloved relatives.
Exactly.
He'll hurt God. He'll make God cry.
Okay, let's be honest here. What I saw from John, and you know, this, I have to ask you some questions about this, because from what I saw with that interview, there was so much information. This is the press. First of all, that's the president of the United States of America. And number one, it appears that he cannot read simple information that he's had access. He brought those grants with him.
Yes.
He could not read them. He brought his, it's like I'm bringing my own equipment to this gig. Oh, but I don't know how to run. Well, how long have you been working? Oh, shoot, I've been in this job for almost 4 years. Well, damn, that's affirmative action, ain't it? They'll hire anybody. I mean, there's so many ways to break this down. I know I sound excited, but I'm just trying to look at this objectively.
Oh, no, no, but you can't do it that way, Jonathan.
Dude, you met, oh, shit, don't fuck with me, man. I'm telling you, that shit.
Because in the past I've talked about how doing Donald Trump's voice is a cross between Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys and Carl the Assistant Greenskeeper in Caddyshack.
You can't do it like that, Jonathan.
That was straight Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
Well, what happened? I left Cat Food Mountain.
You know why he said that? You have to get in his head a little bit and understand that his grasp of the language. Number one, his crystalline intelligence is seen to be very low. Crystalline intelligence is like what you and your cohort should have mastered at your age and your stature, your status. So you're supposed to know your time tables, state capitals, where you know, just certain things you're supposed to know. And it becomes
your Cyphron and your Gazantas.
You know, it was so revealing, you know. I picked up on it, right. So that was like what he was saying is that no, it wasn't explained to me like that. You can't say it like that because I don't understand you. That's what he was saying. Then he said, "Oh look, we're lower or higher. Oh, lower or higher, but we're better than the world.
We're lower than the world.
The world. The world. What the fuck? Let that sink in for a minute.
But from a cognitive standpoint, the real bark at the moon moment was when he said because you know the light went on for Jonathan Swan. He said, "Oh, I see. Yes, you're doing death as a percentage of cases." Where we're really behind, though, is death as a percentage of population.
Right. Because that's the standard.
And that's when he said, but you can't do it like that, Jonathan. And he said, well, why not? I mean, South Korea's got less death. Germany's got less death. And he said, you don't know that.
Right.
You don't know that.
He's right.
And that's an important... That's an important moment, Todd.
That's a hugely important. That might be
because that is saying that there is no empirical data anywhere, anytime. If you do not have direct physical experience of it, you can't know it. I mean, this goes all the way to the very foundations of all the cognitive sciences. I mean, I know that the Earth revolves around the sun. Because it has been proven.
Well,
it is not subject to debate.
Well, you know what? You're presenting that very effectively. What most people, this is what I have to say.
And then there's Rand fucking Paul.
Oh, wait. Can we still not get off on this? I have to ask some questions.
Oh, no. We'll, no. Let's work this first. But we got Rand Paul.
Okay.
You hurt God.
Sorry. That just won't go away. But no, I mean, this is the argument, and this is the argument that's advanced by, for instance, the young Earth creationists.
Well,
we're dealing with these folks.
Those pointy-headed scientists, they say that dinosaurs are billions of years old, but they don't know that. There's no way to know that. You can't possibly know that. Those bones were mixed into the rocks by Satan to confuse the unbelievers. Demons.
Do you see what happens when you let these fools think that just because they feel something and they say something that it's true, and as much as they want to say, well, I don't believe it, and I, you know, what they're saying is obviously is that they don't believe in science. And if they want to be like that, that's fine. It's America. But don't tell people who know what they're talking about what to do, and they need to shut the fuck up and get in line because they're stupid. And there's sometimes...
Well, Jonathan Swan challenged Trump on that when he said, you don't know that. You can't know that.
Right.
And he said, are you saying the South Koreans and the Germans are lying about their numbers?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like their leaders, so I'm not going to say that. But you can't know that.
And this is a perfect segue into what this is an important question.
This is madness.
It's madness. But look at what we have to thank Mr. Swan. And I want to ask you this question. I mean, this is not rhetorical, but I want to see if we have come up with the same answer. Why was Jonathan Swan uniquely qualified to do that interview and to get the results that he got? Because if you look at it enough, If people look at that interview enough, it's on YouTube, 37 minutes. And you have to look at the very end when the president looks over at the boom mic and he's like, is that good? You know, like he was having a flashback to being on set. But anyway, answer that question. Why was Jonathan Swan uniquely qualified to do that interview in such an effective and powerful way? Did you hear it?
Yeah, I'm here. I was taking a call on the stress line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is that this is an insight into the president. A woman would not have been able to get that deep into Donald Trump because he would have shut down and gotten up and left.
Well, and he tried it with Jonathan Swan to us. Excuse me. And usually when he says, excuse me, he barrels on over. But and it's not a gender thing. It's just he wouldn't. Jonathan Swan came with his facts and figures and was prepared to challenge him.
Well,
now,
he was ready.
You know, some of the various other multimillionaires would have just let him steamroll them.
I think that he got so close to Trump, the true Trump, because now we really see how stupid and inept he was.
You can't say that, Jonathan.
That's just the takeaway.
the look on Jonathan's face, because he knows it's like, this is the only way that we can measure our stats with the other country's stats, is because we all use the same denominator. It's by population. You can't measure apples and oranges. That's why you have to turn mixed rations. You have to see, but he doesn't get it. It's exasperating that this is the leader, and he uses that cell phone, and he's not secure. He's a security risk on top of being stupid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goes all the way back to when he was giving away Israeli intel to the Russians.
Right. Exactly.
And by the way, from Megan, under the subject line, "This is why we can't have nice things," 15 adults have been poisoned after drinking hand sanitizer that contained methanol, according to the CDC yesterday. You know, wood alcohol.
People are still doing that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and right, and everyone, you probably download that from the FDA. There's some brands out there that have the wrong type of alcohol, the methyl.
Yeah, methanol. I don't know. Yeah, wood alcohol.
Yeah, and it gets absorbed through your skin, and it can cause trouble.
Blindness, anyway, neurologic damage. Yeah. By the way, Shorty in LA says, "Todd,
Daddy told me screw school, I'll be rich."
And hence, says Shorty, "We have a selected presidents. I seem to remember three candidates leaving the race, and Trump was stuck being the Republican nominee. He's hated everything even more since then."
Well, that interview should be his Waterloo. If we have any Luntian characters on our side that can do the right thing, and maybe Lincoln Project can weave that into, because that's some damning information. That whole interview is damning, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, my God, he's supposed to be making serious decisions, and he can't read a simple graph? That's about as simple as it gets. So anyway, I guess that's all I have to, talk about. And, I'm glad that you got your food together. And, oh, by the way, so I heard your the numbers, you got to get these numbers down.
It would be nice. Well, I mean, we're at 550, because Arnold's is out there somewhere. But, yeah, 550 on a Thursday is 750 on a Friday. And, whew!
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the call, and I won't be going to Mar-a-Lago this weekend. I don't know why.
Well, I've canceled all my engagements there at Mar-a-Lago.
We have to see what happens. Well, have a great evening.
Well, you do the same, and I got some sort of plans for the Acorn this weekend. They're not entirely solidified. You had a note, by the way. You had a note from Jude earlier saying, "Todd, let your limbic system flow as you have a good hold on processing," and said, "I'm inclined to agree with Todd's assessment of the gender factor, that he never would have tolerated that kind of a question coming from a woman."
Thanks, Jude. That's kind of what I was getting at. And that, let's face it, Jonathan Klein has he's Australian, but he's got the British accent. And he's nice looking, and he's on TV. See, so that's something that Trump can identify with. That's what he's into, is rating, TV.
That was a weird, from a visual standpoint, that was a weird setting, though. They shot it in profile, and Trump is in a chair that is so low. Did you notice? It's like they shortened the legs.
I would have been very uncomfortable because I'm tall too, and that's not a comfortable. When you're tall, and your knees are up like that. That's not a good sitting position.
But Jonathan Swan was in like a normal person's chair.
Well, he might be short. I was thinking that. I'm like, maybe
no, his feet were on the ground.
I don't mean that short. Not midget short.
No. I'm not being a smartass here. I'm being very serious. Why would you put Donald Trump in a chair that low to the ground?
So he wouldn't fall off.
Ding.
And you know what? Right.
What's he been doing lately? Favoring his right side.
You know, and that's why he can't get this bathroom thing right, because his coordination's off. He can't quite get his hand or his whatever part of his body.
There has been some sort of an event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you see speaking of profile on that little low squat chair so he wouldn't fall over like Humpty Dumpty, did you notice how, first of all, well, we already talked about the demented. I mean, this is a textbook fucking case of demented. He looks like he's demented. He's acting like he's demented.
His posture? I know we're in pretty much in the weeds on this. I realize that.
But it's all adding up.
But it does. And so his posture is all hunched over like an aging silverback gorilla. did George W. Bush ever hunch over? Did Barack Obama? How about Bill Clinton?
What?
I mean, even Ronald Reagan had pretty much ramrod straight posture. But this grunting troglodyte can barely sit up.
Bob, does he look healthy to you?
No. After we're done, Todd, you go and you check. Look at his appearance there at Whirlpool today.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how, I mean, they had to lay that shit on his face with a trowel.
Yeah.
I mean, he matches the cardboard boxes behind him. I'm not kidding. They're laying it on thick to cover the gray.
Right. He's at his face. You could see they couldn't get it all. I said, oh my, he looks like that. You know, and I think you're right about the hematomas in his hand and the blood and the plasma, because that is a thing. And that's probably, I don't know, I've tried to read a lot. You know, it's probably the best therapy that we have right now. You know. But he's a little too cavalier about this virus. And people have been getting it, dropping around him like crazy. Yeah.
Seth Meyers said, of that same interview, Seth Meyers said he's so fried he can't even remember his own BS.
He's at another level now with the medication. They have to come up with a new proportional cocktail.
Yeah. Jude points out, and Jude has experience in this realm, Jude points out Trump's low chair also to be able to get an easier balance when he needs to stand up.
Mm.
Guess what one of the things that tertiary neurosyphilis affects is?
Mm-hmm. Your sense of balance.
Yeah.
And you have to get facial lesions or lesions, you know, bumps in your face, the rash. There's a lot. You know, what is right with this guy? This is a real problem now. It's so close.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a cowbell for Megan. Look how he stands. He looks like a centaur missing its front hooves, and now I can't unsee it. every time I mention Bubbles in connection with Trump, I get in deep shit with Darlene. Damn it, Bob. Please don't insult Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
Well, it's not an insult, Darlene. It's just that they sound alike.
What?
Oh, and hey, thanks to Trey. Trey just jumped in and helped. That takes us down to 525. So thank you very, very kindly, Trey. That's helpful. Very helpful indeed. Thank you so much.
Everyone thanks you, Trey. Wow. So, by the way, do you remember, it might have been your show yesterday, your program yesterday, the day before, during the shit show, when the president was reading about the tropical storm hurricane And he sounded so disinterested. It was like, I don't really want to be bothered with this.
Yeah. Why would he care?
But, I mean, that's not even shocking anymore. And this is why I'd like to hear one more person talk about his lack of empathy. It's not, there's no point in saying that anymore. He doesn't have pathways. You know, it's not there. You can't. He's too old now. I mean, he's lucky to be living. God, no. God. Oh, God. So, anyway, you have to call in?
Pardon?
Is somebody on the line?
Oh, yeah, there's somebody over on the stress line. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, oh, and by the way, just in case you were wondering, from the Nyanya department, the National Ruble Association sued New York Attorney General Letitia James today. They sued her back.
A countersuit?
There can be no doubt that the James's actions against the NRA are motivated and substantially caused by her hostility toward the NRA's political advocacy. She maligned the NRA without a single shred of evidence nor any sincere belief that the NRA was violating the New York Not-for-Profit Corporation Law or any other law. Oh, goody. Discovery should be... Now Discovery's going to be a blast.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid on their part, wasn't it?
And it's almost like Nitwit Nero... dictated this because you can read it in his voice and it's perfect. Despite hopes that playing by the rules would procure a just outcome, the NRA has not been treated fairly by James's office. James has threatened an actual regulatory reprisals or a blatant and malicious retaliation campaign against the NRA and its constituents based on her disagreement with the content of their speech. This wrongful conduct threatens to destabilize the NRA and chill the speech of the NRA, its members, and other constituents. The funny thing is, by bringing up their members, well, she gets to then turn around and argue, listen, the members are the ones that you defrauded. They're the victims,
right.
Dumbass.
That is right. Well, they had no choice, I guess. I mean, they felt like they had no choice but to countersue. Otherwise, their members, once again, they're already on. Like, can't you see that now? They're online. Like, what? You can't do that. Don't let them treat you that way. You know, because the middle of Ohio, the middle of New York, the middle of Pennsylvania, that's all that there is NRA country. You know, of course, the South is. This is going to be messy, man. All this does is feed into this chasm we're having now. I hope we can bring things together. We have to. I mean, we're Americans. It was just, you know, we grow by fits and starts. And I think we'll get through this. It's going to hurt. But
well, we got to, again, we're back to what I was talking about on Friday. What does get through it mean? I mean, they're actively trying to kill children and their caregivers and caretakers and parents and grandparents.
Stop reading my mind. Before we hang up, can I please stop you right now?
I mean, the kids who dropped the dime on North Paulding High School and that clusterfuck of students in the hallways, those kids have been suspended with threats of expulsion if they ever take another picture inside the high school.
What kind of shit? If that's not fascist, what is?
And if I get around to it, I've actually got the Paulding County School Board's explanation of that hallway clusterfuck.
Well, okay, let me ask you this question. Now, we understand that we're dealing with one group of people who don't believe in science, and that's in one basket. We have other folk who really believe in this quote-unquote herd immunity, even though they obviously don't understand virology, and this is a new virus, and, you know, it's not probably going to work that way in this instance. Then you have the folks just feel like there's too many people. Do you think this is deliberate because they just want less people on the North American continent?
Because why are they subjecting our children and the people who service the children, the teachers? Teachers are being, it's like being forced into a coal mine with no equipment, no hard hat, no oxygen, you know, no safety mechanism.
Yeah, that goes back to the story, last week of all about how the federal mine, the MSHA, Mine Safety and Health Administration, all the mine inspectors are working from home or working remotely. So that means no mine inspections are actually taking place. So
were you that covered that?
Yeah. So every coal mine in this country is just a fetid fever swamp, waiting to burst into full COVID bloom.
They can't be trusted when the inspectors are working.
It's a hot mess. But I got some thank yous to send. I need because we late in the program we've gotten moving a little bit, and that's awesome. Thank you very kindly, like I said before, to Trey. Trey took us down to 525. Steve and Miss Karen, little Cletus and little Twiggy took us down to 510. Rick took us down, not billable Rick, different Rick, took us down to 485, and Mark in Florida just took us down to 410. So that's tremendously helpful. That means we finished off Tuesday, and we're 10 bucks away from finishing off Tuesday.
Well, that's good news. That's excellent.
That's
news.
Fantastic news. Thank you to all of you. Thank you so very much.
You know what, Bob? If everyone were in or associated with the Horn family, the world would be a better place.
I like to think so.
I mean that.
Of course, I made a terrible ciphering error last night and said someday we'll have 4,000 $10 a month subscribers. By God, we would be a force to be reckoned with if we did. We're still working on 400. Hell, we're working on 200. We're working on 125. Todd, you have yourself a good evening. If you can go looking around, I just want to hear your response when you see that paella.
Once again, you read my mind. Yeah, I'm gonna pull your Facebook page up because that's I'm just really your whole setup now. It's just unbelievable, man.
And now I can start thinking about cold weather coming or cooler weather coming, and I can start thinking about the 36 hours it'll take to make my ramen broth. And now that there's a fantastic new refrigerator in the house, I can think in terms of making those wonderful soft boiled ramen seasoned eggs that that go in the ramen.
You know, it must be nice not have to make those trips to get ice.
You have no idea, and it's a huge financial burden lifted too.
You know what? I'm not saying you're poor. I'm not saying that. Well, I mean, if you work for a check, we're all poor. But I've been poor, where wow, I got $10. That was a big deal.
I've been there.
But, it costs money to be poor. It does. You pay poor tax. You can't buy in bulk. If you don't have a vehicle, you got to get a ride somewhere. People who have always been wealthy don't understand. It costs, once you start going downhill financially, it's hard to get out of that hole. And, it doesn't take much. Man, we know that most folks don't have, enough for an emergency, $200 or $400 in the bank, But, yeah, so I was thinking the same thing about the refrigerator, because now, just do what you need to do with the leftovers, and it just makes life easier. And you need that, man. You need that. You've been working hard, and life is life. So anyway, I've enjoyed the conversation. I can't thank you enough, and you're doing a great job. And I'm glad to hear that the numbers are going down, and you'll be hearing from people. Believe me.
I hope so. And we didn't even get around to Rand Paul because that was what an idiot!
I thought you started. Okay.
No, we're gonna have to. Yeah. And Jude reminds us the stark reality is that all the school children in the country are in harm's way. The same for our little ones throughout our country, separated by customs and border agents of Trump's devising.
The schools are time bombs now. There are small bombs in every community now, and they're called the schools. The data's out. Don't do this. I mean,
well, look, it was Saturday, August the 1st, when we had our three super spreader events here in this county. And like I said, a number of members of the community played Where's Waldo, looking for people wearing masks in that clusterfuck of humanity, photos that were put out by local media. So 14 plus 1 is 15. So a week from Saturday or 2 weeks from Saturday, we should be seeing the results of what happened when the principal of my local high school invited the Rona to come to graduation.
Oh,
and still, you know, Saturday is the 8th, and that's the super spreader rally in Portland. And Sunday is the 9th, and that's the super spreader rally in Seattle.
What about Sturgis? Is that right now?
I don't know if Sturgis is right now, but Sturgis is coming. That's going to be 125,000 people.
You know, I mean, what is wrong? I'm not getting excited. It's just like a simple question. We were told that the schools could not open up until we followed the data, and that meant following the data, and also it meant having adequate testing and tracing mechanisms in place. That's what the government told us. So apparently they just disregarded that, don't care anymore. They're going to push these children. This is a big deal, you know. I don't know what I would do. People who never worked in the school don't understand. The ventilation, that's one thing we know. You have to have air exchange. These schools already are suffering from mildew. I just can't. You know, this is trying to kill the poor. This is just going to wipe out a whole lot of low-income people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no way around that. I mean.
There's a little cemetery in Mississippi, Todd, where the local the only federally recognized Indian tribe in Mississippi now is the Choctaw Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little cemetery where they bury their dead, and it's getting filled up because they're running out of room to bury the victims of the Dondemic in the Choctaw community. That's reality.
Well, all right. I'm sorry. I'm babbling.
That's all right. That's all right, my friend. You take care.
I'm looking forward to looking at your food offerings, and I'll get back to you on that.
Well, and the other thing I mentioned to somebody in the thread of the discussion. As we think about what will be the horn in come next June, we'll have a referendum on what the menu's going to be.
Mmm, that'd be fun.
Yeah,
that sounds like
cool. If we can pull it off, it's going to be a freaking blast.
The menu, oh, that'd be fun. People debating over. I mean, look what happened over pizza and pig in a blanket.
Oh yeah, we're still not done with those. There's still people opining over that.
Hey, I don't know if Dr. O'Brien is listening, but I just want to thank him for his offering that had to do with an author named Halper, H-A-L-P-E-R. I guess I mentioned that earlier. I don't know, but that's important.
He had a couple of great programs this week, folks. If you haven't, you should go and download them. There's Dr. Bill is unlike any other person doing this sort of thing out there at all. He is sui generis.
Oh, man.
Nobody like him.
Okay.
All right, well, you take care, Todd.
You too, man. Take care.
All right, see you. Bye now. My buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. And let's roll over to the stress line. Are you still there, Richard?
You bet I am, Bob.
Good for you. I mentioned your name last night because we had a skeevy preacher from your neck of the woods.
Oh, who was that? And what was this about?
I don't recall his name now, but he took a long sabbatical and didn't tell anybody really why, but it eventually came out through the Chattanooga Times Free Press that his sabbatical was based on the fact that he was getting a little too grabby with the women in the church.
Oh God, yes.
Because of course. Right? Always.
Because of what?
Because of course. Of course he was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've picked up that paper a few times. It's not real bad.
No, it's a pretty decent newspaper.
Yeah, the one in Knoxville's not so good. It's more of a corporate piece, you know. They're part of a big chain, I think. Well, I was the name Kamala Harris has been bandied about today, and I really have mixed feelings. Having lived in the San Francisco Bay Area and having lived in San Francisco itself for 10 years, I'm not real crazy about Kamala Harris. You know, I kind of regard her as a rather vicious politician and a creature of the same political machine that gave us Dianne Feinstein a long time ago. But she's vicious enough to take on Donald Trump.
Bingo.
And that is why I have mixed feelings. I mean, I'm disgusted by this woman, in fact. The way she got her start.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. I mean, frankly, Richard, I would vote for the devil himself if Joe Biden chose him for his running mate.
Yeah.
Because nothing is worse than what is there now.
It's true. I agree. Okay. I was at a meeting on Zoom of my local Democratic Party. And as is so common with Democratic parties, they're busy fighting with each other.
Of course. I mean, that all goes back to Will Rogers. I am not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat.
Democrat, yeah. Well, the first thing I got bent out of shape was that they were referring to themselves as Democrat Party.
Oh, God, you got to straighten that shit up out of the blocks. I saw that the other day. It's one of those things. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Exactly, and it's a derogatory phrase that has been lobbed at us by Republicans.
Well, it was invented for those who don't know, it was invented. It was part of an overall plan that was put forward by Newt Gingrich.
I figured
to control the language,
like that.
And the reason he said Democrat, call it the Democrat Party instead of its actual name, Democratic Party, was so that you could emphasize the word rat.
Okay. Well, I went to a party meeting and I complained about people using that phrase, and a chorus of groans went up when I said that, and I haven't been back for a few months.
What the fuck were they groaning about? You were right and they were wrong.
Well, they didn't like it because they're used to referring to themselves as the Democrat Party, and
One is a Democrat.
Call them.
One is a Democrat. Well, one is a member of the Democratic Party.
That's what I said. I said that's the right name for us. And of course, they were busy groaning, and I went on to a Zoom. The meeting happened yesterday on Zoom, so I went on to it, and people were still using that phrase. Is it a phrase or what do you call that?
No, it's a term. It's a misnomer. It's a misnomer. Yeah. Well, what you can do is every time you go to one of these things, when you introduce yourself, you can say, "Hi, my name's Richard. I'm a member of the Democratic Party."
Okay. Well, yeah, talk about logic. I think that maybe we need to use the same kind of strategy against Republicans that they've been using against us.
especially Trump, you know, attacks, ridicule, Karl Rove methods, you know, I think we got to get really nasty.
Well, fortunately, at least for this election cycle, we've got the, Lincoln Project on our side.
Yes, I'm very pleased about that. Really.
In fact, they've got a new ad out. I'm trying to find it here.
A video?
Yeah, but the, you know, the audio matters too.
Yes, right.
I'll have it here in a second, hopefully. Ah, there it is. Let's roll the audio on this. It highlights the mounting death toll from COVID. And just features a picture of an uncaring Trump standing behind a Trump sign that just says deaths, and it's just climbing and climbing and climbing. And for once, there's no voiceover. It just has that immediate,
that
immediacy of coming right at you through your eyeballs.
How effective do you think that these ads are going to be? I've seen three of these videos so far.
It depends on how you measure their effectiveness, Richard. It's effective insofar as they're buying them in markets and on networks to make sure that Trump sees them. So what they're doing is they're making him shrieking mad so that he can't stay on point or focus on anything except his, because, you know, all he is an adipose jiggling wad of petty grievances.
Yes.
And so they're very effective in that degree. How effective they are with voters, we got to get to November for that to happen. Although maybe it'll be reflected in polling, and it does look like his campaign is floundering.
Well, here I am in Tennessee, where, you know, sometimes I wonder if voting even matters at all, because it's so heavily Republican, and you know, automatically Republican. So I talk with my neighbor across the street. I think I've mentioned it to you before. He's a wonderful neighbor. You know, when I was going to have heart surgery, he was out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, ready to take me to the hospital. And however, when it comes to stuff like COVID, he won't wear a mask. And I think he believes that COVID is a Democratic plot. So we have...
Well, that's what he was told it was.
Yeah. We got a lot of dead people in this county. We got a population of 52,000 people. And out of those 52,000, last time I looked, we hit 20 dead people. And by the way, most of those were at the nursing home where I stayed after my heart surgery. That's been very...
Well, I was going to ask about your shoulder surgery. Have you had that yet?
Oh, my God. Yes, I did. I had it on the 15th of last month. And then the doctor ran out of the hospital as fast as he could. So the whole thing is really bizarre. I feel like I'm entitled to hear from the surgeon's own mouth right after the operation is done. What happened? You know, what did you do? What did you find? What's the prognosis? You know, I want to know this stuff, right? But he was gone. And this was like in and out surgery. So I think I was there maybe 4 to 6 hours. I can't remember. And a fellow atheist drove me. And she said that she would pray for me. And I guess that her prayers were answered. Hallelujah, Bob.
Glory.
Boy, the thing is that this is supposed to be very painful surgery. And the surgeon said to me that this is the most painful surgery that he does. But I have not suffered. And
that's fantastic.
That's been really nice. Yeah, it's really fantastic. You know, I went home with hydrocodone, you know, addictive pain pills. And about 3 days later, I just said, hell, I don't need this stuff. I just stopped taking it. So,
well, and you know what? That's one of those weird things about those, about the opioids. If you've got real and legitimate pain, I think, you know, if the key is to stop taking them when you don't need them anymore, which is exactly what you did.
And by the way, the same thing happened with my heart surgery. Didn't need them. And I told my doctor, I said, I didn't have any pain from my heart surgery. He said, that's amazing. He said, they cut your breastbone to get at your heart. I said, yes, I know, but I didn't have pain. So I don't know what to attribute this to. Maybe it's because I'm an atheist. What do you think?
Yeah, that's as good a thing to credit it to as anything.
Yeah. So local Democratic, some of the women in the local Democratic Party decided to put me on some web service about bringing meals to people. I think it's called Meal Train. And so three people have cooked me great Southern cooking and brought it
great
to
for
me.
That, great, so yeah, great for the post-surgery cardiac patient, I'm sure.
We
got some deep fried stuff. We fried it first and then we fried it again here.
No, but it's been really good. So I have felt well taken care of. And somebody drove me to the doctors the other day. Now, I go to the closest thing to that California health system that I used to have that I've told you about. I go to a community clinic, which is federally subsidized. And
through the Affordable Care Act.
You know, I don't know.
It's outside of the Medicaid expansion, but one of the things that give credit where credit's due, where that Bernie raised hell about, was to get money for rural health care clinics into the body of the ACA.
So how did that come out? I mean, what happened?
Well, I mean, that's why you've got that.
Well, you know, the clinic is there. I mean, I paid the same thing that I would if I went to private doctors, you know, because I'm old and I have, I'm on Medicare and I have a Medicare Advantage plan, which for those of you who don't know, is the same thing as Medicare, only it is simply administered by a private healthcare company. And they throw in a few goodies here and there. And so I pay the same thing no matter what. And the people like working at this place. So I trust them more. And let me tell you a little bit about my trust here. I have seen, you know, you get old and the older you get, the more specialists you need to see. And under Medicare Advantage plans, typically when you go to see a specialist, you pay more than if you go to see a regular GP.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
oh, so, I have to tell you, you had greetings sent your way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chug a Punch said, hey, this sounds like Richard. It is Richard. Give him my best. So
it is Richard.
Yeah, so that's Thomas. Our buddy Chug a Punch, yeah.
Oh, wow, I haven't talked with him in so long. Hey, wow, I've talked with him. Oh, it's a great reminder.
Hey, look, I'm dancing.
So, well, let me see, where was I? Oh, yes. Now, if you're on Medicare, you get a statement every month that, and the same with Medicare Advantage and probably Medicare Supplemental, which is another alternative. You get a statement every month that really gives you a blow-by-blow breakout of the money that's been involved.
Kind of horrifying, so, isn't it?
Let's say, do you get this? I mean,
I don't have. I'm not old enough for Medicare yet, but I know what they look like. The EOB. Okay, well, the EOB explanation of benefits.
No. This is a monthly statement. This is something that breaks out what the doctor billed them, if they approved the payment, how much they actually paid him, what my share of the costs was, you know. And so I've seen two different specialists since I've been here, a gastroenterologist and a podiatrist, each of whom would spend about 5 minutes with me and then run out the door. And my share of costs...
Run screaming out the door, yes.
Yeah, between $25 and $40. And Medicare paid them hundreds. You know, it's like I'm looking at this, and so one day, now I'm bad at math, I'm bad at arithmetic. I have ADD. I can't do this stuff. But, you know, when I was a health commissioner, I got used to looking at numbers, right? And so I got up a calculator and I did some calculations. Holy shit, this guy is raking in $3,000 an hour. Isn't that obscene?
No, as the saying goes, good work if you can get it.
Yeah, no wonder all these doctors are Republicans. I mean, I'm just incensed.
So, well, I mean, but you know what? They're Republicans for reasons you can understand them being a Republican for. They have wealth, and they will protect it to their dying breath.
I think you're right. I mean, I have met one surgeon here.
But what I don't understand is the disabled coal miner, and here we are back in West Virginia now. What I don't understand the disabled coal miner, or the unemployed mom, who's, well, I'm gonna vote for Trump, because he's a businessman.
Oh my God! Listen, what am I going to say to these people that Trump lost in 4 out of 5 boroughs of New York City? Trump lost by 68%. My God!
Why do you think he's so terrified of Letitia James and Cyrus Vance? Can you imagine? Can you imagine facing a jury of your peers drawn from the 5 boroughs?
Well, 4 of the 5 boroughs. See, the Staten Island.
I left out Staten Island. My bad. Yeah.
Well, they voted 56% for him, but the most he got in the other 4 was 22. My God.
Yeah, we should change Staten Island to Alabama Island.
Well, I don't understand why Staten Island is part of New York State at all, because it's, you know, it's nestled up there against New Jersey.
Yeah, you can throw a rock and hit New Jersey, whereas, yeah. I mean, if Staten Island's part of New York, then what the hell? Make Bermuda part of New York, too.
Yeah, I haven't figured out why that is. I mean, there's a reason, but I don't know it.
Because they didn't want to be New Jersey.
I don't know. I mean, I've always liked Staten Island when I lived. You know, when I lived, I grew up in Brooklyn, and I would go over there. There used to be a ferry to Staten Island from Brooklyn, so I could actually go on. I could ride my bicycle halfway across Brooklyn and get on that ferry and get off on the other side. You know, and ride in Staten Island.
Well, consider that I forget who wrote the song, but there's that great old Tin Pan Alley song. I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island. Two, you notice that Staten Island 2 is sort of thrown in there as a sort of consolation, or, well, if I got to take Staten Island to get to get Manhattan and the Bronx, well, I'll take Staten Island 2.
Well, actually, my experience with it was the opposite. It was a fascinating place. You know, it was magic. It was like being out in the country. It was an assemblage of little villages. And that's how I remember. Of course, now that the bridge has been built over there, it's been infilled tremendously. So anyway, back to my story about healthcare over here. So one of the Democratic Party people drove me over to the clinic, which takes 45 minutes to get to. And it's in Madisonville, Tennessee. And while I was waiting, he ran over to Benton's Smoky Mountain Hams.
I knew it the minute you said, yep. I knew it.
And I am sitting here looking at a little gift to me, a package of prosciutto. And it says Benton's on it, so I'm going to have some.
You're going to enjoy it. It's not going to be like any prosciutto you've ever had.
Well, I've had good prosciutto. I mean, in San Francisco, I've had great prosciutto. And it's a little skinny, thin package. And I don't know quite what to do with it.
Get yourself some thin sliced provolone and some melon. Have at it.
Oh, yes. I will do that. So anyway, that's my story about what's going on. I forgot one thing. If home health care comes to me and gives me physical therapy, I don't pay anything for it. If I go to the physical therapist, it's so expensive I can't afford it. And that's how it's set up. So
probably not an accident.
I have healthcare people coming to me now. And today the physical therapist came, the occupational therapist came, social worker came, and a woman came from Chattanooga to give me a shower. And she drove 120 miles to do that. Friday,
and she got 50 cents a mile for it.
You know, I have no idea what she got for it. I know that my occupation.
She got whatever her pay is plus 50 cents a mile.
You know that for a fact?
Unless they've lowered the federal mileage rate.
This is not federal, though. She's working for a private company. That's. You see,
they're still being paid with federal dollars.
Anyway, the physical therapy assistant complained that his pay had been cut 20% at the beginning of this year. His boss got a pay cut also, but not as much. So he got a bad hit. And they told him it was because of something federal. But the nurses got a pay increase. So, you know, I look at this stuff and I'm scratching my head and wondering. They all like working for this company. And it's a company that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And
having a job in the Deep South is something you like.
They all like the work. You know, they like. They're medical people. They like being out and about, getting out of the shop, you know, visiting people. They love doing it this way. And I am having a really good time with the occupational therapists. They're taking real good care of me.
You say I'm having a good time with them. Makes it sound like there's party hats and noisemakers, a bottle of hooch, and maybe some practical jokes.
Well, a little bit of it. I mean, they all hate Trump, so good for them.
Awesome.
And, you know, the physical therapist, I keep on working on him. He's a local guy, and he's a good kid. You know, I say kid because I'm so old, and everybody seems like a kid. except the girls who, who is that guy who killed himself? Jeffrey what?
Epstein?
I'm bad at names. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein. He's the kind of girl. I mean, they really look, anybody younger than 30 looks like a kid to me. I have to confess, I'm almost 80, so, you know.
Well, you're doing pretty good for that.
Well, I hope so.
It's like, so, you know, Dr. Bill is so vibrant, you know, when I talk to him, and it's, you know, and he knows so much. I was talking to him the other day. He said, you know, I'll be 80 next month. You know, with that wonderful Boston accent of his.
Yes. What brought him to West Virginia?
He got a job teaching, and eventually, I don't think he came here. Eventually, he wound up as president of the Beckley campus of Concord College. But he's a PhD in history.
I know. I have to tell you something about Dr. Bill, Bob. I get stoned listening to Dr. Bill.
You said that a lot.
I mean, you know, I fly so high listening to Dr. Bill that I can't take him in large doses. I really mean it. I'm stoned listening to Dr. Bill. Yeah. He is so incredible.
Right, because your mind, he just kicks your mind rolling down the hill, and the next you just gather speed and gather speed and gather speed. The other thing Jack in Shreveport and I used to joke about is that Dr. Bill's genius is that he'll sit there and he'll be so calm and so methodical and lay out his case.
Yeah, and then he gets a whammy.
Yeah, and then at the end of the program, he pulls this axe handle out and just whacks you right in the back of the head. You're like, oh, didn't see that coming.
Yeah, he's a great teacher.
Oh,
I'm a sucker for great teachers.
I've learned more from Dr. Bill history, American history wise, in the time in the you know near 20 years that I've known him, than I learned ever before, because he makes you hungry for it.
So exactly. And so how do I absorb Dr. Bill? I mean, really, I have to take vacations from him because it's so intense.
You dose him to your own titration. And of course, all the archives are there at White Rose Society.
Oh, so they are. White Rose is wonderful, by the way.
Oh,
that is how I discovered. Huh?
Ben Birch has done a magnificent job over the years.
Yeah, and his website is so clean, because I look for trackers on websites. You know, who's watching me when I go to a website? I can't stand surveillance, and boy. A lot of websites are just stinking with trackers. And unfortunately, some of them are newspapers that we like, you know, like The Guardian.
Oh, they're shameless. Oh, and by the way, you got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. And we'll use, I'll share this with you as we roll out the door. Darlene wrote, excuse me, going back to your earliest topic. Excuse me, Richard, but as a woman, in re Kamala Harris, I am in total agreement with you. Sorry, Bob. She's not someone we would want in power in ordinary times. But these are not ordinary times, so I will wholeheartedly vote for Biden-Harris ticket should that arise. Not happily, but wholeheartedly. P.S. Of all the black women candidates, Val Demings is still my favorite. She's still scandal-free and has been quiet, dignified, and has of late been emphasizing that she was an investigator when she was a cop.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, Darlene, I really appreciate what you just said very, very much. And I'd love to know where in Connecticut you are, because I spent 10 years in Connecticut. My degrees are from the University of Connecticut, in fact.
Which, by the way, because this is totally trivial, but which, by the way, the University of Connecticut became the first 1A football school to declare, sorry, we ain't playing ball this fall. Too much risk.
And what does that mean?
Well, that means the University of Connecticut Huskies football team will not be taking the field this season.
Hmm. I don't know how to make. I mean, I was a student at four different colleges, and I worked at a fifth. And I got to say, the University of Connecticut is the worst place I've ever been a student. You know, the worst learning environment I've ever been in. I just stuck it out because I was sick of transferring. I really love colleges that are aimed at for students, you know, to give the student a rich learning experience, and that was not one of them.
Well, I have a feeling that Darlene will write and So you were in what part of Connecticut?
Well, Bob. Oh, okay. I was in Storrs, S-T-O-R-R-S, which is about halfway between Hartford and Providence, Rhode Island, roughly. And I taught Head Start a little bit to the east of there in an area called the Appalachia of New England in a town called Danielson. And, I mean, it is that poor. And, you know, people don't know it's there.
Well,
people
I don't even know if Darlene's got power back after the massive outages of the storm going through there. But Darlene says, Richard, I'm in the northwest corner.
Okay, let me think. The northwest corner. Okay, yeah, I know where that is. I haven't been through there very much. It's in like the foothills of the Berkshires, sort of. And I think I've only been through there once. So she's up north of Danbury, way north of Danbury. I used to drive through Danbury when I had my radio job in Springfield. I was on the air in Springfield, Massachusetts, holding down the station on weekends and living in New York City and fighting off the Army on weekdays.
Fighting off the Army. She just said, okay, Richard was in the northeast corner.
But I mean, where I went to school is in the, that's right. That's correct. Northeast corner. I fought off the Army because I was not going to go to Vietnam. It was hot and heavy. And that's when I was on the radio and the newscast that I read started off with the ball scores. We killed so many of them and they killed so many of us.
Right.
That's how every 5 minute newscast came out of the teletype machine that way. And I wouldn't read them.
Ding. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, is that machine loud. Oh, man.
That's why it had to be in another room in a soundproof booth.
It was in a soundproof closet. We were a classical music station, what you call a 50,000-watt blowtorch, I think.
Yeah.
And our teletype machine had no keyboard on it. And I assume that you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Because we didn't originate any stories. We had no reporters, no news staff. You know, we just, it was called Rip and Read.
I know it well.
Rip and Read News. Yeah. And as a United Press, what was your source?
When I was at the Gospel Voice, we were at UPI.
That's what we had. And one day,
great big ancient iron teletype machine must have weighed a ton.
Exactly. One day, you know, playing symphonies on the air, the music is long, and you can have long periods when there's nothing to do, and then you have frantic boredom.
Frantic boredom sounds like a punk band. That'd be a great punk band name.
I'll tell you that whole story some other time.
All right, Richard, you have yourself a good evening. I'm so glad to know that we knew you'd gotten past the heart surgery. Glad to know that you got the rotator cuff taken care of and you did it pain-free.
Well, I'm not done with it. It's going to take a long time to heal up. But,
oh, yeah.
So far, so good.
And hopefully the arrival of what passes for cold weather there in the East Tennessee hills won't bring on the pain. And Darlene says, yes, the foothills of the Berkshires. We're proud of our foothills to the Berkshires in our area. And please let Richard know I attended Western New England College School of Law.
Oh, my God. Where is that?
We will have to find out on another program.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Hey, Richard, good to hear from you, my friend. You just keep doing your physical therapy. Be good now.
Okay, bye.
See ya. Frantic boredom. I gotta check into some frantic. Didn't they have a big hit single in like 1973? I can't help myself. Yeah, with the news that the University of Connecticut Huskies will not be playing football this season, Brother Deacon Asa sent me a comment that I blew right past, probably because it's the end of 3 hours of radio. If the UConn Huskies aren't going to play football this season, how are they ever going to have a chance to become NAACP champions? Asking for the folks at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. That, that never gets old. Remember when Fox News, NAACP champions? Yes. Ah, okay, Richard, if you're still listening, Western New England College School of Law is in Springfield, Massachusetts. Thank you, Darlene. And thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks for the flurry of contributions that got us down to $410 to go this evening. That means we've taken we're almost done. We're $10 away from done with Tuesday. And then yesterday and today and tomorrow. So tomorrow, barring action by the overnight crew, we will be at 610 to finish the first week of August. And hopefully we will. Thanks one and all. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time on this little planet, engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you. Thank you, Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Remember, blazing new edition of Mike Malloy comes your way, as it does every night, at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on headon.live. It's the best place to listen to Malloy and hang out in the chat room, conversate, whatever tickles your fancy. So that's less than an hour away. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please, as this miserable plague gets worse, please stay safe. Please stay home if you at all possibly can. Please, if you have to go out, wear your mask, wear your gloves, do your social distancing. And, you know, I had a question, and it's a guy question. I've been known to wear a beard from time to time, most often in the winter months. I haven't lately. Not since I got home from Alabama. But I got to thinking, given what we know about droplets and what have you, I wonder if a beard is a help or a hindrance to avoiding COVID-19. I haven't seen any information on that. Just the things I think about. But anyway, if you see some maggot out there burbling and gabbling and gaggling and babbling and about making America great or keeping America great or any of that other bilious horse shit, go as far away from them as you possibly can and avoid them like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.